Ladies and gentlemen, the story you're about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Online, worldofwrestling.com presents your number one action and comedy radio show based around the world of professional wrestling. OWW Radio.
The King of Kings goes back on his throne.
The champ is here.
The beast, the man.
You gotta beat the man.
Whoa. It looks like there's a new sheriff in town.
And man, is it about time.
And this is not a mirage. This is real. This is here. This is now. This is the second coming.
Now your host, Alan. What's his name? Wojcicki? Wojcicki?
Your house started to shake, the heavens opened up, and God himself spoke to you and said this.
Wojcicki, is it?
It's Wojcik. Alan Wojcik. Do I really need to write this out for you? God!
Now, your host, Alan Wojcik.
And welcome to another edition of Online World of Wrestling. The numbers to dial in if you want to be a part of this show tonight is 877-588-9877, option 1. If you're hip and cool, not like me, like Sir Rockin', you can join us via the Skype network. This show has two double meanings tonight. One, it is because it's my birth month and it's my show. I have to pick whatever music I want. And tonight is BT Night. And if you're wondering who the heck he is, where have you been for the last decade? He's done soundtracks for films such as Stealth, Fast and the Furious, and got an Academy Award nomination for the Charlize Theron film Monster. So we're going to have that all night. And it is a double knockout night. 11 o'clock, we will have the former Raisha Saeed and Alyssa Flash. She's currently known as Cheerleader Melissa, so stick around for her. Joining us, as always, via the Wild Talk Radio Network are two wonderful gentlemen. One would be the Spug Guy, joining us from Cleveland, who's mocking my choice of BT. Hey, I have no problems with Armin Van Buren as a DJ, but BT's been around a lot longer, dude, so...
I've seen Armin live. I've seen BT live. I don't care. They all pale in comparison to Daft Punk.
Actually, we'll get into that later on because our guest at the top of the hour is graciously joining us in a moment here. The Mace from Down Under with his cool new blog that we'll mention in a few minutes is joining us also. So thank you to him for taking time away from his busy day under the equator.
Busy and day. Alan, I put the time aside to come on this show.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate that. Now, the reason we're here at 9 o'clock is because we're graced by the presence of the person who probably could have been the leader of the beautiful people, but creative probably went in direction and said, nah, dark hair can't have that. Brains can't have that either. She was with TNA Wrestling back when, oh yeah, they were in a place called Nashville. You kids remember that? Probably not. I do, because I was there from 2002 to 2007. She has been super gracious to join us here tonight, and I know the Dancing with the Stars clock is on, and she's like, you're interrupting me from the situation, dude. Tracy Brooks is joining us. Good evening.
Hi, guys. It's not the situation I'm watching. That's the reason I didn't want to watch it.
No, it's not. Okay, so why are we watching Dancing with the Stars?
Because the Hoff is on it. Are you kidding me? I love Dancing with the Stars.
Now, Chris Jericho apparently turned them down by claiming my schedule's too busy. If you were under TNA contract still, would this, being a fan of the show, would you have pitched that to them and said, you want to get some fame? I got the moves. Get me on a show like this.
Hell no. There's no way I would do it.
Really?
I would like to see an AJ or a Daniels or a Kazarian do it, or even Kurt Angle, but there's absolutely no way. I don't think any of the girls. There's no way I would do it. Absolutely not. Not because of the schedule, not because of anything, but I think the guys would be, I don't know. I think the guys would be way better than the girls.
I think it was a rumor that Kurt Jericho would have been approached.
Yeah, I think Kurt would be great at it. Kurt's great at everything. He's a freaking machine, so. But I don't know. I think the girls would be, I don't know. But I think the guys definitely, I mean, their memories they have and the fact, you know, they go off the fly and stuff like that and their characters, I think the guys would be really good at it.
That'd
I think Jericho would have been awesome at it.
That would be interesting to see Christopher Daniels come out in full Fallen Angel gimmick and insult all the Dancing with the Stars people, and they'll be like, what the heck? Like, hey, you
like
wanted a pro wrestler on your show.
Like, Stacey was awesome, and she was on it. She was incredible. But also, too, tonight, Sons of Anarchy is on, so that's why. Sons of Anarchy is huge. It's like my new favorite show in the whole entire world.
Yeah, you mentioned that when we met up at Wrestling for a Cause, who's got shows this weekend over in the Orlando area, and we'll drop some knowledge on them in a little while. With the release of this weekend, today actually, and if you don't watch TNA Wrestling, good, because you haven't seen a commercial for it yet. The Best of the Asylum Years, Volume 1, was released today. I was smart enough to get an advanced copy of it. And amazingly, Tracy Brooks is nowhere to be on it because they decided not to put pretty much your guys at the time that were on there. For fans, let's take fans back a bit. You debuted, I believe it was around 2003. What were the circumstances that got you involved with TNA Wrestling? Or sorry, at that time, it was NWA, TNA.
It was April 2003. So it was almost right at the beginning of TNA, kind of, you know, the first 6 months of TNA. I was wrestling in Ontario, Canada, and I met Scott D'Amore maybe a year, not quite a year before that, and he actually was involved with, remember the pay-per-views and the tours overseas with Jarrett and, I can't even remember the pay-per-view.
The WWA stuff with Andrew McManus.
Yes. Thank you. He was actually involved, and he was helping with Jared over there and stuff like that. And AJ was on the show, a lot of those guys, because Aaron was on the show. He actually brought pictures in for me to Jeff, or of me to Jeff, and Jeff said, bring her down. So I was in Toronto at the time, and I'd cross the border in Buffalo and fly down to Nashville, and we tape every Wednesday night. And the first time I was there, I knew I was going to be in those cages. So I actually, my first storyline was with Lollipop, and I attacked Lollipop and wanted to be a cage dancer. And you know what? It was an awesome time. Those were some of the best times TNA, wrestling-wise, TNA had, in my opinion. The X Division was on fire.
Oh, yeah. Now, during that time, there was some ladies' interaction going on in the ring, not an established knockout division. At any point, did you go to creative and say, hi, by the way, I'm a trained wrestler, and would you guys like to use me in that role?
No, it was funny, because when I was first there, they're just like, you're not going to wrestle, you know, we're just going to have you do some sideline stuff. And at that point, I didn't really know how to valet or manage or do the girly part. I was more of just a wrestler, and I wasn't aware of makeup and cleavage and all that fun stuff that you can get by today just having that. But they ended up saying, well, you're not going to wrestle. And then I think the second time I was there, the week after, I was in the main event for the heavyweight championship in a battle royal where I got cradle pile drive by Kid Cash. Then the next week I was put in the tag team storyline, and I tagged with David Young. And I was also doing dark matches with Valentina and Desire, and I had matches. I think Trinity was wrestling Kid Cash in the storyline or something. But I was wrestling almost every week. And I just didn't think of a division. I just thought that's what we were there to do. We were there, you know, whatever you need me to do. You need me to dance in the cage. You need me to wrestle. I'm here to do what you need to do. And I think David and I went to the semifinals for the tag team tournaments and lost them to AMW. And then they decided they formed that group, the Bitch Flap group?
Something like that. That was very weird.
Yeah, and then they kind of got rid of a lot of girls at that point. And Mickey went to the WWE at that point, too. And she was in Raven's Flock.
The Gathering.
Desire got injured, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I think Desire hurt her back or broke her back. And then I ended up having border issues. Thanks, Canada.
Don't we all?
Yeah, so I ended up going away, I think, until October, where that came back as Shane Douglas's valet. Against, I think my re-debut was at Shane Douglas's valet against Sandman.
Oh, wow.
I have a question for Miss Brooks.
Uh-oh.
Yes, Smug.
PG, Smug. PG.
Smug. Now,
smug.
In 2003, you came to Cleveland and wrestled Alexis Lurie, ODB, and you were with Tough Tina and Angel Williams. Since
was that
then,
with JT Lightning?
Yes.
Yes.
Since then, you haven't come back to Cleveland. Is our city really that bad?
Uh-oh.
No one wants me there.
I would want you here. I would want you here.
Please?
You know why?
We'll run a show, and then I'll come.
You know why I would want you here? Because you're legitimately hot, and most of the girls here in Cleveland are a two everywhere else in the country.
Hey, 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 the husband's listening.
You.
Be nice.
No, he's downstairs watching Dancing with the Stars.
Figures.
Thank you.
I'm going out here, honey. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
No,
I like Cleveland.
Seriously,
actually,
though.
I was there twice, though. I think I did two of his shows, and I had a blast.
Yeah, you were here in September and November.
Yeah, and I remember, we drove from Nashville. That was a hell of a long drive.
It is a very long drive.
Yeah, it's like 9 hours or something. But yeah, I have fun in Cleveland. I have fun wherever I go.
Now,
I lived in Nashville for 4 years. I had fun.
Looking at your history, you've gone up and down the list with quite a few names. And I'm not going to lie, I really wasn't a big fan of TNA way back when it started. I remember catching it on Fox Sports a few times.
Wow.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but you were with Dusty Rhodes as his managerial assistant, were you not?
Yes, I was.
Oh, yeah.
What was it like? What was it like to talk to him off the air, and maybe learn from him? And did you learn anything from him? What pieces of advice did he have to give you?
Oh, Dusty was great to me. I mean, he was awesome to me. He always gave me a speaking part. I was always had a speaking role. I was always on TV. He helped me with my promos. I mean, just told me, here's a couple words I want, a couple points I want you to get across. Say it in your own way. And to me, that was the closest to me because I'm a farm girl, and with him, I was just being a country girl sitting in the back of a pickup truck. So to me, that was the closest character to relate home to me. So Dusty was awesome. I love Dusty. I never have anything bad. Dusty was really a huge part of my career, actually.
Coming from the rural part of Ohio, farm girls in the back of pickup trucks are awesome. Just
oh, God.
You know what? It was easy. I am a farm girl. So, I mean, white beater, jeans, and a cowboy hat. You're not going to get any more of who I am. And, it's always best to have your best character to be part of you. So, and it was Dusty. You always have to mark out a little bit.
Well, looking at the state of women's wrestling across the board, TNA is ever shrinking their women's roster. WWE is hiring porn stars as opposed to actual women's wrestlers and getting rid of those that can actually wrestle. Is it sad to you to see that, or is that just the way the business goes?
No, it's not sad. I mean, you have to realize the people that are bitter and angry have to realize that things change. Football changed, basketball changed, hockey's changed, MMA's changed. Wrestling's changing. It's just technology changes. People have to realize that times are changing, and the people that are bitter and angry and I hate wrestling, blah, 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 it's times change. If they don't want people that have driven up and down the road. They don't want people that have paid their dues or paid this much money to go to wrestling school and, drove up and down the road for years and we're in developmental for years or in the territories for years. It's not the same business anymore. It's saddening sometimes, but if everyone always hates the girls. Well, if I was a girl on the street, if I was a hot chick walking down the street and some guy came up to me and said, hey, do you want to travel the world and I'm going to pay you X amount of dollars? Okay. You can't fault the girl for saying yes. to me, all I would say to those girls is respect the business when you're in it. If I got into acting or something, I would really try to go to acting school and be the best actor I could possibly, research roles and do this and do that. But you can't fault the people how they get into the business. It's not their fault. They're stupid if they say no. It's the way you are, how you act, and how you are when you're in the business, though. And that's all I would say to the girls and the guys that get into the business that haven't been through the indies is watch some tapes and learn and, you know, ask questions and keep your mouth shut and be respectful. Just be human. Like, the problem is today there's so many disrespectful people in and out of wrestling that it just, like, there's so many stupid people walking around this planet right now that it astonishes me. And in wrestling, it's common sense. Respect elders that paved the way for you. Shake their hand. You know, give up a seat to a veteran. Like, just stay to the end of the show. You know, to me, I was at an indie show. ODB and I were at an indie show. I won't say where, I won't say who, but a person came up to me after I'd been released from TNA and said, hey, can you give my tape to someone at TNA? I said, I don't work at TNA anymore. Oh, I don't watch the product. Don't say that. It's disrespectful. You want to be in a business that you don't watch the product. So you're an idiot.
Wow.
Like, this to me, it's just common sense. That's all.
Tracy Brooks is our guest here on Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network and the folks at clickwrestle.com, where you can find matches with Tracy Brooks. 877-588-9877, option 1 is the way to join us, or you can join us through the Skype network. In our chat room that we have, Jersey Girl wanted to know, of all the folks you managed during TNA Wrestling, who is the most fun to manage? Shane Douglas, Matt Bentley / Michael Shane, when he was partnered with Kazarian, or Robert Roode, and why?
Oh, that's not fair.
I'll help you out there. We'll modify the question. When you were in Orlando and the Bentley Bounce started, what was your initial reaction to that? Because that looked like the most fun, at least from my point of view. You and Matt look like you're having a blast every week coming out for that stuff.
To me, that question's kind of like, what's your favorite junk food? Like, I have a certain favorite ice cream, I have a certain favorite chocolate, I have a certain favorite sour candy, and a certain favorite, like, pizza. Like, they're all my favorite, but for different reasons. Shane, because Shane taught me how to be a good valet. Like, he taught me to, if the camera can't see you, if you can't see the camera can't see you. He always used me in the match. He always made me talk. I was always a good part of him. It was always Shane and Tracy. It wasn't just Shane and his, you know, chick. With Matt, it was fun. I mean, we're young, we're fun, we were having so much fun. And when Kazarian came in with Shazarian, I think we could have been the next Eminem. Like, we had so much fun and they just didn't give us, I don't think they gave us, I wish they would let us run a little longer with it. And because I think we all had great chemistry. We were just three young people having fun and going out there, and they were assholes, basically. And I was just an asshole along with them. And with Dusty, obviously, he was, you know, he's an icon in this business. You know, you sit there and go, God, I'm sitting beside Dusty Rhodes. Like, I used to watch him, and, you know, holy crap, it's Dusty. And then with Robert, I loved that part because I was just an absolute bitch. And I'm not a bitch, but that's why I got to play a fun bitch and just, I got to act and have fun. And again, he always used me for every single match. I got to talk. I had fun. We got to wrestle. And I don't really think we got an ending to that whole Robert Roode, Tracy Brooks thing. Like, I think it was just, he was such a dick when he was with me. The Robert Roode was a wife beating. Like, he punched Charmel. I got hit in the head with a guitar. I got powerbombed by Showtime. There's so much abuse. It was awesome. But you can't really compare. I can't say who I had the most fun with. It was all fun, just different reasons.
Cool. Mace, said you had a question for Tracy.
Yeah, I do. In preparation for this interview, delving back into the past that I've been able to scrape up, just wondering if this little bit of stunt work that you did back in 2004, otherwise known as Zombie Beach Party, actually led to an acting role. Do you think we'd be sitting here talking to Tracy Brooks, the actor, rather than Tracy Brooks, the ex-TNA knockout?
That movie was horrible. I had a lot of fun with that movie, though. But I wasn't looking at it as a, hey, I'm in a movie. I was looking at it, hey, I get to do wrestling. Hey, I'm wrestling, and I did for a movie. I would never turn down an acting job. Obviously, I did a few more other acting jobs for places in Canada, and I had a lot of fun. I was on a show called Rent-A-Goalie for an episode, and it was incredible. It was fun. It was great, but I'm a wrestler at heart. Okay. I'm Tracy Brooks, a wrestler, and I think I always would be.
That's good to hear. We love our wrestlers on this show.
Oh,
the other thing I just want to know, I actually remember meeting you what would have been about 3 years ago for a small event down here in Australia called Armageddon. You were down here with
fun.
Christy Hemme.
Yes.
And I actually remember watching one of the wrestling events by the guys of the AWF. And I happened to look over at the wall where you and Christy were sitting. You guys looked bored. What was going on?
We looked bored?
You looked like you were so bored of this. Was it just a long weekend thing? Or
during the convention?
Just... Yeah.
Well, I'm sure there was no one to talk to. I don't remember being bored. Maybe tired and jet-lagged.
Yeah, that's
that could have been it, but mistake. No, we were only in Melbourne, and we had to go to Sydney after that. We were only there for maybe 4 days.
Yeah.
I think. 4 or 5, maybe 5 days. But, yeah, we, no, definitely not bored. It's just maybe you caught us on a down period.
Quite possibly.
Was it when we were signing? Or was it backstage?
No, it was actually when the guys were putting on the show in the ring that was set up in the area. During the signing bits, you guys were really nice. I had a quick chat with you guys. And
I
also Sam
Mandel
was there
with
you.
We better have been
nice. I had a chat with Sam Mandel as well, and then really wanted to punch him out in the condition he came back later. But that's another story for another time.
Absolutely. she's pressed for time.
Yeah, I will say this, just before I take up any more of your time, it was very nice to meet you, and I'm glad to have had the opportunity.
Well, thank you. I love Australia. It's beautiful. It was one of the... it's gorgeous there. And we love your accents.
Well, hopefully you can make it back here and see more of the country.
I hope so, too.
I bet you she likes it better than Cleveland.
Than Cleveland accents.
When we were sitting... Yeah, when you, my friend Mike, and I were sitting there wrestling for a cause a couple weeks ago, one of the topics that came up was continuity issues with Vince Russo and creative and the Conway kid who's doing the writing and whoever else is over there. Especially at one point you were going to be like the leader of the locker room, you were refereeing, and then Kong's gone, Gail Kim's gone, Nikki Rocks is gone, Melissa, who we'll talk to later on, is gone, and the beautiful people are there. I mean, was there ever a point where you turned to your friends like Gail, like Frankie, and said, what the crap am I doing here? And, you know, just talk about some of the continuity issues that you had.
I mean, I think a lot of people blame Russo, and it's not his fault. I mean, there's a creative team, and there's other people that they have to answer to. And what people don't realize is that when you tape a season of TV, you have to tape 26 episodes in a year. They tape 52 episodes, well, more than that, but they tape every single week. So every single week, they have to come up with, I forget how many hours, it's whatever, 3 hours of TV a week, where a TV company who has, you know, a dozen writers or 26 writers and years of experience and guest stars and this and that, they only have to write 26 hours of TV a year, where we write how many hours, like over 52 hours, well, way over that. Every week we write at least 3 hours of TV. People have to realize that people just want to blame Russo or blame this, and you get frustrated when you're in a company because you care. If you don't get frustrated, I don't think you should be in the company. You get frustrated because you care and you want the company to do well. And there's times where you have to answer to a higher power. When I was a Knockout Law, I love that idea because, A, there's never actually been a girl just in charge of the girls before. But unfortunately, at that time, Jeff Jarrett was also coming back as a founder of TNA. Mick Foley had just come to TNA, and Jim Cornette was also the boss of all the talent. So it was trying to get, and then me, it was trying to get four people on TV. I'm the lesser of the four, obviously. Are you going to bump me for Mick Foley? So, I mean, there's that. Reffing I actually enjoyed because I actually got to push the girls back. And reffing is not an easy job. I give all referees credit. Good referees, I give credit. But, yeah, I felt like I was kind of floundering there for a while, but I don't regret anything in TNA. I mean, if I wasn't happy, I could have spoke up and asked for my release. But I just think it was one of those things where I'd been there for so long, too. It's kind of like, well, what do you do? I don't think they realized. I wish I got to wrestle more because, like, Gail and I actually had a lot of matches before the knockout division started, mixed matches, mixed tag matches, and actually single matches, and Jackie Moore and myself and Gail. That's the only thing I wish is that I got to wrestle more. Well, that they just saw me as a manager because I managed so much with TNA and forgot that I could actually wrestle or what. But again, you can't blame just one person for something.
I want to blame the TNA publicity department for something. And if Stephen Godfrey's listening, dude, I wanted your job so bad in 2006, and I would have done it better than you because you were supposed to have been in an issue of Playboy magazine that we understand due to the passing of Farrah Fawcett, you got bumped and then went on Cyber Club and got tons and tons of hits. But if I remember right, I don't remember seeing any of it mentioned on TNA Wrestling. Who dropped the ball there? And how did the Playboy spread come? Did they approach you? Did you send them stuff? How'd that happen?
What happened was I have an agent that helps me run my eBay store, which is Creepy Brooks Direct to You, which you can go buy the Playboy pictures and lots of merchandise I have. He actually also represents Brandi Roderick, who was Hugh Hefner's ex-girlfriend. He got him kind of hooked up because WWE was going very PG and getting rid of all the Playboys, and so we figured Steve's actually idea, who has nothing to do with TNA, said, hey, we should try to get TNA involved with Playboy. This is a payday for my girls. So he actually approached Playboy, and then we together with Playboy sent a contract to the office. Again, I think just falling through a lot of people's hands. The contract was for X amount of dollars for me to appear as a celebrity pictorial. I was never guaranteed the cover. I shot for the cover, but Hugh Hefner still has say over who's on the cover. When Farrah Fawcett passed away, they happened to have all the issues up into my issue, which was November, set. So I was to be in November because they come out a month early, so it comes out October, and it was to promote Bound for Glory in Irvine, California. That's what they're tying into, like they kind of tied WrestleMania in with Playboy. Mm-hmm. So it was either not be in it at all or get bumped for Farrah Fawcett because they wanted to honor her. I mean, she was 50 years old in the magazine. I mean, she's incredible. She's a sex icon. And bumped me to Cyber Club, which I actually got 95 million views. And yeah, it was actually really cool. And I actually got 44 pictures instead of just like 5 or 6. Yeah, was I bummed that I was in the magazine? Of course. But to be bumped for Farrah Fawcett, and I was actually in the magazine. And they, Playboy was awesome. They promoted TNA. They promoted Bound for Glory. TNA's only issue, and it's not even an issue, it's just they promoted me to be at Bound for Glory, and I wasn't. So whether that was just it's in the past, so it doesn't matter now, but that was the only thing that I was kind of a little upset about. But again, it's in the past, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Mention the site again for everybody so they can go and buy merchandise.
If you go to ebay.com, it's Tracy Brooks Direct to You.
Okay. Now, we have a prerequisite question that's placed in the interviews here, and it's not okay. By me, so I apologize for Spug right now in advance. If you never want to talk to me again, I understand.
Okay.
I have to ask. I'm here.
Dude. That's what the stars is calling, man. She's mad.
I have to ask. I have to ask every wrestler this. This is a two-part question. This is a two-part question.
Okay.
In every stupid social network dating site, you see the random question of, you tell a lot of people buy their underwear. What kind of underwear do you wear? I like to change that. If Tracy Brooks were a pair of underwear, what type of underwear would she be? One.
Oh, Lord.
And two, what is the best rib you have ever seen, pulled, or been a part of?
Second part I won't answer because when I write my book, people can go check it out.
Oh, hell yeah.
The first part.
She's got to think about this one. You got to.
You know what? The first part, I'm going to say sexy little, they're not boy panties, but they're called boy panties for women. Sexy little boy panties for girls because, A, they're athletic. They're sexy as hell. That's my answer.
All right. Now, she does have a Facebook page if you're out there, and it's under, if you're trying to spell her name and you're getting it wrong, it's T-R-A-C-I Brooks. Now, are you one of those twit people? Are you twitting, or you don't do that?
Yeah, I'm a twatter.
Oh,
yes,
geez,
and it's,
another one.
It's the Tracy Brooks.
Yeah, I can't. I was told by Kenny King not to do it. Kenny said that I'm not cool enough, and neither is he. So,
do you know what? It's a great way to promote stuff. It is, because right now Facebook and MySpace. Everyone is, hey, I'm so-and-so. Hey, I had someone named Tracy Brookshaw actually contact me to stop imitating me.
What?
So I absolutely hate Facebook and MySpace. I actually don't like Twitter either, but at least it's a place where I can say this is actually me and verify that it's actually me. Because even on Facebook, you can say it's you and have a picture saying, hey, this is me and this is my link. People just steal that picture and put it on their own. So, and for all you posers that absolutely pretend to be people, you're lame. Get out of your grandmother's and mother's basements. Get a life, get a job, and get away from your computer, because I cannot stand people that pretend to be other people.
Yeah, I can attest to seeing about five different Frankie Kazarians and TJ Wilsons
disgusting.
And Natty Neidhart. And I hate to break it to you kids, from being friends with TJ, Natty doesn't have a page. She hates Facebook too.
Disgusts me. It absolutely disgusts me. Get a life. Yeah. You're above ground. Life isn't that bad, people.
And
get your own life, grab your own balls, and get your own life, please. I hate posers.
Before we let you go, I know you have a couple dates set for October already. If you want to mention them to the fans where they'll be able to see you in person.
Yes, I'm going back to Canada, September 30th to October 4th. If you go to maximprowrestling.ca, all the information for the shows will be there. And then I'm actually back in Canada for the same company. In Windsor on October 16th and Woodstock, Ontario on the 17th. And then I am, where am I? I'm in somewhere in Georgia.
Yeah, you're at a couple dates in Georgia for Halloween, right?
Yep, October 30th and October 31st. And actually, if you go to my Facebook page, which is funny, it is Barry Facebook, I have all the appearances there.
Yeah, don't worry. We have friends on there too, but hey, the site can't be that bad if they're making a movie about the creation of the damn thing. And you get David Fincher and Aaron Sorkin show up.
It's great for socializing. It's great for promoting. And I mean, it is really good because I always get a flyer and I put it on there and say where I'm going to be and stuff like that. But it's just the people that pose and, you know, imitate and steal and hack, and it makes me absolutely sick.
Absolutely. All right. Stay with us for a second as we go to break here, Online World of Wrestling Radio on BT Night, with one half of the Knockouts down. Another one coming at 11 o'clock. On the other side of this break, we'll get into Night of Champions, why Twitter is bad for your health if you're Matt Hardy, and we'll address some TNA wrestling news as well. We'll be right back after this break on Online World of Wrestling Radio.
Running up a backside, disconnecting. If you had a chance, you wouldn't even stop denying. Go start the out of hand.
Are you looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans? Then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions. As well, there are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official eFed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forums, OWW Genesis, right now at onlineworldofwrestling.com.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kinda did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of this.
Oh my god, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Hawk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
Here's a great way to stay up to date with the Wild Talk Radio Network. Sign up for the official WTR newsletter. That's right, Wild Talk Radio now has an official newsletter, the only place to keep up to date on the goings-on in the WTR universe. From show previews, exclusive interviews with the hosts and celebrities, and special contests just for those who sign up. Submit your email address and subscribe today to the WTR newsletter.
Greetings, my fellow geeks. This is Mace of Otaku Talk Live, and I have come out here today to address you as one of you. What I have done is I have created a download-only podcast for those of us who want to sit there and talk about comics, for those of us who want to sit there and just talk video games, and for those of us who just want to sit there and bash the living crap out of movies. What is this called? It's called Bashing the Books. Who are you going to hear on it? Me! You get to hear me go on and on about comic books, movies, and games. So, think of it as a mini OTL, but with more Australians. So, that's Bashing the Books, available hopefully every Wednesday or Thursday, right here on WildTalkRadio.com. I now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Alright, this is the king of old school, Mr. Wrestling 3, a true legend in professional wrestling, Steve Corino, and if all those nicknames didn't really matter to you, it doesn't matter to many other people, because you're listening to the Online World of Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcicki.
Online World of Wrestling Radio is back here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, brought to you by the folks at Click Wrestle On Demand. You can find matches with our previous guest, Tracy Brooks, our guest in the 11 o'clock hour,
Cheerleader Melissa. You can podcast our show from there as well. 877-588-9877, option 1 is the way to join us on the Double Knockout Night, also brought to you by Brian Transeo, also known as BT. That was off a really cool album called Ima, Trip in the Light, fantastic. And some people say that TNA WWE Creative was tripping big time this Sunday when we all witnessed the Night of Champions pay-per-view that we'll address in a moment with our panel, who will be joining us in a second here.
Well, I'm here.
He is, and I believe the Mace is coming back. He had some technical issues, and we apologize.
I've returned.
For there he is, yes. And definitely check out Tracy on Facebook and the eBay page that she mentioned. And as mentioned, see, it's all the cool people like her that get the twit thing, and I'm not twitting, twanging, tweet, whatever the heck that goofy thing is called. Now, as mentioned, Night of Champions, pretty much champions reigned except for Big Show, CM Punk. Okay. Kind of, that's just funny. How do you have a pay-per-view and then throw in one that's like, oh, they don't have a belt, but yeah, come on. Instead of running the entire show down and doing match for match, which you guys on Wrestle Talk Radio do excellently, and I am honored every time I get asked to come over and hang out on the show there. We'll just say that Dolph Ziggler was the only Dolph Ziggler and Kane were the only two people that retained their belts. The Hart Dynasty were eliminated extremely early in the inexplainable gauntlet that almost felt like Creative took a couple darts and said, hey, check that out. Let's do that. You have new tag champs, as you saw last night on Monday Night Raw, Drew McIntyre and dashing Cody Rhodes. You still have the same ladies champions. I'm sorry, they're unified divas champions now. Michelle McCool, Callaway retained her championship, defeating Melina, and our favorite, the man, the myth, the legend, Daniel Bryan, is your new United States heavyweight champion, shutting The Miz up for about 5 seconds, because he was in rare form on Monday Night Raw last night. Dolph Ziggler retained his championship, and we have, again, a new WWE champion in, well, he's not called Legend Killer anymore, he's the cute, cuddly teddy bear. No, he's the anaconda, the viper, the snake in the ground. What? I'm tired of all these creative, funny names for stuff. To Spug first, favorite match of the night and one that you wish Creative would have sent back to the drawing board?
Well, of course, I'm gonna have a joygasm over Bryan Danielson.
We got tissues for you, so go right on that fun time.
I bought a roll of paper towels, my friend.
We're proud of you. We need to get Bounty as a sponsor, or Brawny, or whoever.
When anytime Bryan Danielson or Triple H is brought up, we should just have like a little like this moment brought to you by Bounty Sounder for all of the shows on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Absolutely.
Match that I wish Creative would have sent back. The CM Punk thing, I wish they would have gotten rid of. And quite honestly, I kind of wish they would have. And we talked about this Sunday night when we were talking about plans for Mania down the road. You know, just hop, you know, talking about what we think should happen. But I really wish if they're getting on this whole kick of unifying titles. I would like them to unify the United States and the Intercontinental title, and I would really like to see. I would have liked to have seen them send them the Big Show match back, and have Kofi and Dolph, and CM Punk, and The Miz involved, or not CM Punk, but Bryan Danielson and The Miz involved. And just give CM Punk the night off, because you've ruined any storyline that you had with him.
To Mace, favorite match of the night and one you would have sent back to creative?
Favorite match of the night, of course, is going to be Miz versus Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, Christmas McWhiskers, whatever you want to call him this day and age. Brilliant match, very, very solid.
Christmas McWhiskers!
Wow.
I love it!
The match I would definitely send back to a creative is the tag team title cluster frag. That really did not need to be on the pay-per-view for one, and it sure as hell did not have to end the way it did.
So you're not happy having Cody and Drew as your tag champs?
No, and I wish they would dash straight out the door into a brick wall.
Now, I had brought it up the other night. I thought it would, it just seemed weird. I was like, you know what's missing here at this tag team? Yeah, Nigel McGuinness. He was supposed to have been signing with WWE back a couple years ago and then took a step and went in the direction he's in right now with TNA Wrestling, and we'll address them in the next segment. That I just thought, you know, wow, London Brawling with Drew McIntyre and Nigel McGuinness as a tag team would be way more interesting than Cody Rhodes and Drew McIntyre. Your thoughts on them just, it seeming like throwing tag teams together, is the only actual settled tag teams are the Hart Dynasty, the Usos, you kind of Kozlov and Santino. They've actually wrestled at least more than once as a team. And then, of course, yeah, you had the Dude Busters and Archer and Hawkins, who kind of got called the Gatecrashers by Matt Stryker. Your thoughts, Mace, overall on the tag team situation in this company?
They have a tag team situation since when?
That's what I read on a website somewhere. I think it was onlineworldofwrestling.com.
Well, I really don't see much proof of a tag team division in that company, as they seem to spend more time throwing two random superstars together and promoting that rather than getting actual teams. You know, like you said, you got the Hart Dynasty, you got the Usos, you got the Dude Busters, you got the Partridge in the Pear Trees, you know. You got these teams that are there, but they don't utilize them at all. Instead, they go, okay, you're not doing anything, you're not doing anything, we're going to put you guys together and we're going to put you out there and give you belts. Right. Pretty much, I'm going to stick to TNA where they have actual tag teams and they actually make sense.
Well, unlike that gentleman who called into your show on Sunday that basically just said there was no tag teams in TNA, and I was like, really?
I wasn't there, them. Alan.
Oh, yeah. Spug and I had some fun with that gentleman who is from New York, I guess. And I was like, if he's from New York, I'm from Idaho.
Alan got called into the principal's office over it.
Just a little bit, but hey, wasn't my show, so I had no problem doing the Kurt Angle Undertaker taking the singlets down and going, all right, now that my singlets down, I'm bad. I'm ready to go.
I just use obscenities and yell when I.
Yeah, I was close, but I keep it PG over there. So, your thoughts, tag division or lack of what?
What tag division? I'm gonna
echo what base. Can be done. Actually, I mean, we got the dumbest belts in wrestling history on these guys right now. So, I mean,
every
what can be
time,
done? To save
every time I see those belts, I'm waiting for King Leonidas to come running out of somewhere and kick one of them in the chest and yell, "This is for Sparta." I just, those are the dumbest belts ever. If you were going to unify the belts, go back to the old school world tags, please.
Now, they did make a title defense on Monday Night Raw. They took out Santina and Vladimir Kozlov. The other matches from this past Monday night saw probably the weirdest situation out of all of this. I mean, we addressed it with David Marquez last week. Was the idea of a heel. We don't have a problem with a heel side partner, but a heel play-by-play person, and Michael Cole is just getting a little weird.
Let's face it. I have man crushes. Michael Cole is just getting gay.
I mean, he healed on the Hart Dynasty being out there with him the whole time. He healed on Bryan Danielson, or Daniel Bryan, whatever he's called this week. He healed on, he's healing all over the place.
Is this just a setup to get him
finally out and managing someone, or
what do you think he's the GM?
Mm-hmm. Could be possible because they got caught. If you watch Monday Night Raw, I believe it was during the first time the general manager emailed in and you flip the laptop open where the keys would be in it, you would type. It's a real nice piece of paper. So I'm going, did I see what? Wait, hold on a sec. Backed it up, brought the wife into the room for a second who despises watching wrestling.
Well, they did that a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I didn't capture them because I normally when the GM chimes in, I go, but I mean, do a little better job of hiding your stuff, man.
Well, they got smarter. If you watch later in the telecast when Edge is there, the whole script's up on the screen. The whole script. It's up in a Word file on the screen. So
pretty much. Now, the other,
I'm going to say that he's the general manager. And to answer your question about the tag team division, you have the Hart Foundation, you have the Usos. Santino and Kozlov are actually a pretty good tag team. I don't mind Cody Rhodes and Drew. But I would rather, you know, they're well established singles wrestlers. If you're gonna try to rebuild your tag team and you want to put singles wrestlers together, bring up some people from FCW, bring in guys from the indies, guys you want to work out, you know, build them like you did in the old days. You start them out in the tag, you wait for somebody to break out of that tag team mold, and then you move them on. You know, you move them up the ladder.
Now, here's the other thing that irked me, and we kind of addressed this on Sunday. I got a little tissy when we were addressing the preview today, when we started talking about the damn show. And the biggest problem is 2 weeks from now, we're going to be talking about another pay-per-view. At almost $40 a pop, except for WrestleMania. Why couldn't we, Mace, just say, you know what, we'll move Hell in a Cell to October 24th. Why are we doing a pay-per-view on the 3rd and then another one on the 24th? You're pounding these fans for $40-$50 a shot as it is. Why rush to this?
I have no idea besides the good old adage of corporate greed.
You're thinking on this one, Spug? Is it because... No, TNA is on the 10th. We have to be before them.
No, I honestly wish that WWE would go back to 6 to 8 pay-per-views a year, to be quite honest with you. I think 6 would be the perfect number, because you could do one every other month.
Mm-hmm.
And people would buy them so hard. They really would. The only month that you would have any type of problem with a pay-per-view, or where you would have to go maybe 2 months without a pay-per-view, is from SummerSlam to Survivor Series. And if you wanted to throw one in the middle there, like maybe end of October, or I mean end of September, beginning of October, then I would be fine with it. So we'll say 7 pay-per-views a year. You know, what irks me is that you have all of these pay-per-views between TNA and WWE, and the economy is so horrible right now. You want to keep up attendance in arenas, yet you want people to pay $40 a month for the crap you're throwing out on television. Enough of these stupid gimmick pay-per-views. Get rid of bragging rights. Get rid of Hell in a Cell. Get rid of Money in the Bank pay-per-view. You know, the only one that's worth anything is No Way Out in February.
Elimination Chamber, you mean?
whatever. They quit changing the name. Whoever is in Vince McMahon's ear telling them that we should call it Hell in a Cell, people will buy it then. Dude, it was called War Games, and it was brought on by another company called WCW.
Who you can see on your very great on-demand programming, from what I hear.
We're going to get rid of Survivor Series. It's, you know, 22-plus years. But we're going to call it something different because nobody cares about it now. Guess what? You're wrong.
And now, people seem to be caring about another topic that kind of has been going for the last couple of weeks since the SmackDown group went overseas and came back. And if everybody's wondering, you know, why is Raw being taped last night, double shots, because they're going to Europe now. We got to address, as much as I don't want to, because I'm like, dude, you did this in 2005. Why are we doing this again? And it's the Matt Hardy situation. His Flickr, whatever the heck his video tool is that he's been using, seems to be writing his butt straight out of WWE. He's been hinting on Twitter that if you're going overseas, if you live overseas, when TNA is in Germany, I would buy tickets. I'm not a Twit person, as we've outlined. I'm not a tech-savvy person like Mace or Sorokin. So bottom line, this one for me, you know, we did a 90-day clock for Bryan Danielson, and we all know how that happened. And in 2005, when I was covering TNA Wrestling, we had a 90-day clock for your friend of mine, Mr. Matt Hardy. 90 days from now, Spug and then the Mace, where's Matt Hardy? Is he in TNA? Is he in WWE? Is he in an insane asylum? Is he, where is he?
Ninety days, where's Matt Hardy? Probably still on the couch drinking beer.
Okay, Spug, pick a place for Matt Hardy in 90 days. Preferably not next. Yeah, preferably not Triple H's office sitting there going, but I really want to be on TV, dude.
A place for Matt Hardy in the next 90 days. I'm going to say in Brother Jeff's meth lab.
Okay. Because I know where Omega would say he'd be, but we're PG rated here, so we can't go where Omega would put him. Like I said, this isn't something new. 2005, he pulled this whole, I'm unhappy, I'm gonna leave, and I'm not a doctor, I don't travel with Matt Hardy, so I can't attest to what he's saying in his video things about an intestinal issue. Go ahead.
Didn't he have a valid reason in 05 to want to leave?
Oh, who wouldn't? Do you want to work in under those predicaments?
I mean, we can't really complain about what he did in 05, because he kind of had a valid reason to want to leave then.
Yeah. Now, he's claimed an intestinal issue is the reason why he's got some health stuff. He's claiming all these kinds of things. You both have trained wrestlers. You both have been in the business. And as I mentioned the other night on WTR, you know, go back to 96 when the Hardys were wrestling for Omega, I think, at the time. None of this crap would be happening because you didn't have a Facebook, a MySpace, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Flickr, a Five Square, a 20 Square, or whatever the heck that program is that everybody's like, I'm at a restaurant. I'm on the moon. Cool. Is this just he's so bored with stuff that he wants to vent? I'd love to get an answer direct from WWE, because they're being like ridiculously quiet over this one. To Mace real fast, you know, if you're Johnny Laurinaitis, have you at any point, if you're running the ship, pulled this nutcase in and said, yeah, knock it off? I mean, are you trying to keep, if you're creative, do you want Matt Hardy in your company?
At this point in time, from a business standpoint, I'd definitely be pulling Matt into a meeting you know, with Vince McMahon, with all the big bosses, and sort of sitting him down and saying, okay, what's the deal? What's going on? Explain your side to us before we tell you to go frag yourself and send you on your way. Because the way he's been acting, I don't think there's a boss, whether it be in wrestling, whether it be, you know, IT development, you know, your local Walmart or whatever, I don't think there's a single boss on this planet that would take that type of talk from any employee. So at this point in time, you'd ask what's going on, and then you give him the walking papers.
And at this point, we're at the 10 o'clock hour. We're not going to go to break. We're going to stay through and go on, because why bother? I'm Alan Wojcik. This is the second hour of Online World of Wrestling Radio. Where were you in the first hour? Because you missed the very lovely Tracy Brooks. You still get to stick around, because in the 11 o'clock hour, we do have former TNA star cheerleader Melissa, who, if you're going, I know her. Why do I know her? She was Raisha Saeed, the Awesome Kong's, second, and also had, Alyssa Flash as a name, and we'll get into her with that later on. I'm joined, as always, and I'm grateful that they're here each week. We didn't get contributors because the normal ones we have are dealing with a lot of high school events and news events, so we're appreciative that Spug and Mace from Wrestle Talk Radio have joined us here. We're going to transition into TNA, but we're going to keep WWE in the loop, because within a two-day period, if you're living in New York City, you're going to see TNA and WWE a block away from each other. Now, stay with me, because I'm going to read a little bit, and I apologize for reading on the air. This Thursday night... I'm probably wrong on that. No, it's is it Thursday night? Yes, it is Thursday night. TNA Wrestling is doing not one, but two live events. They're doing one at the Hammerstein Ballroom, which is where ECW version 1 did many a great show. And they're also going to be running in Oklahoma City at the State Fair Arena. Now, here's where it gets crazy. And like I said, I'm going to keep the WWE in the loop for a second here. If you're going to the show in Oklahoma City, you're paying $18, $22, or $28 to see this card that's already been announced. The Beautiful People's Velvet Sky versus Madison Rayne. The World Tag Team Champions Motor City Machine Guns are going to take on Beer Money Incorporated. Samoan Submission Machine, Samoa Joe, is going to take on the phenomenal AJ Styles, your World Television Champion. And dig this main event. The main event is the Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle versus Nature Boy Ric Flair. For $18 general admission, you're getting in to see a legend like Ric Flair and a legend like Kurt Angle. Also on that show are supposed to be Douglas Williams, The Blueprint Matt Morgan, Kazarian, Eric Young, Brian Kendrick, and the TNA founder Jeff Jarrett. Now here's where it gets ridiculous. This is the ticket prices for the Hammerstein Ballroom. Now I dig it, you're at a Hammerstein Ballroom, Hammerstein, however you pronounce it, you're in New York City, and I get the difference in prices. But they're charging $43.60, $54.85, $76.85, $87.10, and $112 to see this card that's announced. Appearing War Machine Rhino, the Pope D'Angelo De Niro, the new World X Division champion, and we're very happy that he got it. Jay Lethal taking on New York native, the Amazing Red. Knockouts championship match, the champ Angelina Love taking on Tara. Tag team tables match, Team 3D, guess they're under a deal still, taking on Ink Inc. He apparently is back from injury. The whole effing show, Rob Van Dam, has informed TNA management that he will be at the Hammerstein Ballroom, and apparently this is the same thing in Rahway, New Jersey on the next night, and ECW Arena the following night. The Monster Abyss is going to take on ECW original Tommy Dreamer. A Monsters Ball match is that what that will be, with Mick Foley as your special referee. And your main event for the evening at the Hammerstein Ballroom is the charismatic enigma Jeff Hardy versus Mister, the guy Mace hates a lot. You guys are fans. Don't you? I don't get the ticket pricing thing. $112 as opposed to $28 in Oklahoma City, Mace? I dig the inflation thing, but what the heck?
I have no idea. I don't live in the United States, so I really don't care how much they're charging, as long as
what they're charging to have it on TV. How much were you paying when SmackDown was down there a while ago? If you had gone and attended and paid for the event, how much would it have been in Australian dollars if you can convert it to US?
The cheapest cheapest nosebleed seats here in Australia were $50 a seat, which at the current rate of exchange, you're probably looking at somewhere about $47, $48 United States currency. To get ringside seats, you're looking at $350 per seat. So you're looking at about $340 United States dollars.
Yeah. A little out there. To Spug, real quick. Oh, I'm sure. To Spug, you've attended ECW events in the past, you mentioned.
Yes.
Can you remember ticket? I know it was back in the day. I know it was a few years ago. Inflation cost for percentage, whatever, is different. Dollar for dollar, the New York fans obviously are getting the shaft here, man. You honestly going to pay $112 to sit and see some of these matches?
No, because for Heatwave 99 where we sat, we paid $65.
Interesting.
We had some pretty good seats, and if you remember, if Mesa remember that card from Heatwave 99, that was a pretty damn good card. The last WWE event I went to was Raw, a few years ago, and I think tickets we sat at the queue. Our tickets were it's when they were still holding Raw at the queue and not at the Wolstein Center in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
But last time we went to the queue for Raw, we paid $45 a seat, and that was a Monday Night Raw. This is a house show, and yep. This is TNA, and they're charging $112 a seat. In some sections of the Hammerstein Ballroom. This is why TNA is not popular with people, because they're retards.
Yeah, and they're not even saying if there's going to be like a fan fest or anything like that. So it's just interesting to see what they're at. I mean, I don't have in front of me either the numbers for Bound for Glory 2010, which is going to be 10, 10, 10, and we'll find out they or we or whoever. Now, compare this to a couple nights later, if you're in New York, WWE will be presenting the Bret the Hitman Hart Appreciation Night at the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. And I was stunned when I read this, that it's Bret's first appearance in New York in 13 years. I believe they're doing a dedication to him in the Rotunda area where they did the one where TNA held the Hulk Hogan press conference. Out there in that fabulous lobby are legends such as Vince McMahon Sr., Vince McMahon, Billy Joel, Bruce Springsteen, that kind of stuff.
Hey, what's the date of the show?
It's this coming Friday, I believe, or Saturday.
Saturday, September 25th?
I believe it's the 25th. And if I'm wrong, Spug can, Rock can correct me. Yep, it is the 25th. So 2 days later, here's the card you're getting. SmackDown, this looks like it's a mishmash of shows a little bit here. Kelly and Melina taking on Layla and Michelle McCool, or Leku. Also in the building, Drew McIntyre, Chris Masters, Alberto Del Rio, Chavo Guerrero, the SmackDown GM, Teddy Long. I'm not sure if some of these matches have changed due to championships happening, but this is what was on their website, so we'll roll with it. MVP was supposed to take on Dashing Cody Rhodes in a Raw versus SmackDown match, Mark Henry versus Jack Swagger. The Intercontinental Championship on the line, Dolph Ziggler versus Kofi Kingston. The Big Show taking on CM Punk. In a six-man match, three members of the Nexus, not named, were to take on Bret the Hitman Hart and the Hart Dynasty with Natalya. And your main event is a New York street fight for the World Heavyweight Championship with The Undertaker and Kane. Now, Sorokin has shown that if we got this right, the highest ticket price in the Garden is ringside at $257?
I have a different listing.
Read that right? What did you find if you went to Ticketmaster? What do you got for prices there?
I have the prices direct from the WWE website.
Oh, preach it, please.
It's $20, $30, $45, $60, and $75.
Yeah. Now, you're also in a building that for hockey seats, $18,200. So for wrestling, probably $16,000, maybe, because they set it up. I think they keep the hockey configuration. Maybe $18,200 tops if they don't close the 400 level, the old blue seat section. So now, if you're a fan that's living in New York, you're sitting there going, you know, my money here is TNA, my money here is WWE. What do you do here, man? You only can spend so much. Go ahead.
Alan, platinum seating.
Oh, that's what he's talking about.
Platinum seating, the highest ticket is $245.
Does it say what platinum seating is? Do you get a seat? Does a diva sit on your lap the whole show? What happens?
Official platinum seats. Get access to preferred seating and experience the WWE from some of the best seats in the house with official platinum seats. Just check on the official platinum seats tab to browse for the perfect tickets. It doesn't say exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fan access kind of thing. Get some of the best scenes of the house and live it up in official platinum seats and savor special bragging rights before and after the show. It's essentially a meet and greet.
Interesting.
And the highest ticket for that is $245.83.
I just thought the way I originally read it before, anyway, like one of my friends in New York had said to me, dude, TNA and WWE are going head to head. I thought they were running the same night across. It's like, oh crap. So you're running the same night across the street from each other? Cause basically Hammerstein's on 34th Street and then there's 33rd Street and 31st Street parallel Madison Square Garden with 7th and 8th Avenue going up and down. So you're pretty much right there. And I was like, you gotta be kidding me. But TNA will be elsewhere. I believe they're in Rahway for a seminar that they're doing that we outlined a couple weeks ago, and then they're at ECW Arena. Check it out, Ticketmaster.com, TNAWrestling.com, and WWE.com are the basic ways to find pricing for that. We're spoiler free here as always, so we do know at least one match is set for the 10-10-10 event. And why it's set this way, I have no idea. We got to witness again on Impact this past week. Yes, there was actually an Impact on this past week, guys and girls that are watching and listening elsewhere via a podcast or live with us right now. You got to witness again Jeff Hardy versus Kurt Angle, which led to no winner. But here's the funny part, and I found this out from some friends that came to the All-Stars Wrestling event on Friday night. And we'll have one of their wrestlers on, Simon Says, in a few minutes. If you DVR'd Impact and didn't go into reaction, boy, were you screwed, because you missed the last 5 minutes of Kurt Angle versus Jeff Hardy. And before I finish my point, TNA Wrestling Philly tickets are 61st row to 4th and VIP. 35 rows, 5 to 13, and 20 for general admission. Thank you to Jersey Girl for typing that in for us there. And I know I don't believe you watch the reaction show, Spug, but as a fan, if you're just a regular tradition fan, does this piss you off that you missed the last 5 minutes and you had to watch the reaction show that you may not want to watch?
No, because I don't watch TNA anyway. I have more important things to do. Let's put it this way. And this is just straight up hate right now.
Okay? Go ahead, hate away.
I would rather raid in World of Warcraft than watch TNA Impact on a Thursday night. That is how little that show means to me. Because that's how far it's fallen from its heyday and the grace that it had with some of the stars in the past.
Yeah. Now, the worst part of this show, since you didn't watch, and I know some folks in the room did watch, and some friends that are listening, listen as weekly, and we appreciate that. We found out that if you watched this past week at Impact, man, it was wrestling. What wrestling? Because every time you turn around, like this past Monday Night Raw, where you had everybody was sitting with the commentators. Here we had Dixie and Jeff, Eric Bischoff doing a blah blah to set up a match. The Pope running around talking to Sting and Nash. You had Lacey meeting up with Madison and Velvel. And all this stuff. You had Abyss beating up people. You had the Pope looking for a Bischoff again and running into Tessmacher. And then Abyss using a branding iron. You had RVD talking about, oh, I'm coming back. Maybe I'll be there this week, even though the new champ hasn't been crowned yet. You had Generation Me doing a promo. And then you had the Tommy Dreamer Fest. And I think Rock had a stopwatch on this one, that we were almost at 10, 11 minutes of Tommy Dreamer talking and talking and talking about how great every member in Fortune was and how he wants peace between the EV 2.0. And it's like, where's the wrestling, dude? The best part of this whole show was we got to see Jay Lethal become the World X Division champion, taking out Douglas Williams. And what's a guy got to do to get some actual wrestling on his wrestling show? And Vince Russo a while back came out and said, I can't believe people are sitting there timing how much fake wrestling's on a fake wrestling show. But why are people even watching this show? Like you said, and I know we're supposed to be impartial here, but what the heck, dude? You know, Samoa Joe, Kevin Nash goes to a double count out, them brawling all over. It looks like the Pope's possibly going heel here, kids. We're spoiler free, but just from the vibe that he left and the vibe he left on reaction, from watching some of the pay-per-view stuff, rate the, give your opinion on him, Spug. Are you fine at the possibility of him going heel and joining up with Nash and Sting? Or do you think the Pope as a character has never really been established properly?
I particularly don't care. I think if you're going to establish a star, the best way to start him out is a heel, because if you can't make it as a heel, you're not going to be able to make it as a face, because it's 10 times harder to be a heel than it is a face.
Well, overall, his work rate, I mean, he's been doing this whole thing where I don't trust Anderson. Anderson did all this stuff to me. And is he main event? Should he be in this match? Should this be a fatal four-way at Bound for Glory instead of the triple threat thing? Or is this good for his character? It gets him away and lets him become this vengeful Pope, so to speak.
I don't know. I really don't. I don't watch enough of the product to comment on it, dude. I don't.
The TV is in the can until the live event on the 7th, and I kind of noticed Kevin Nash has been really quiet lately. He was involved with the match, as said, with Samoa Joe. Sting and Jeff Jarrett were involved in there too. Brian Kendrick was involved, and I had people asking me this past Friday night at ASW, what the heck is Brian Kendrick smoking? And the first thing I said was, hey, it's cool. Let his character be his character. To Mace, your thoughts on Kendrick overall? He's changed himself up so many times. And if you saw his shoot interview with Paul London, oh, this is a good joint. Pass it around to Paul. How much is this is the real Brian Kendrick, and how much of this is just creative going, yeah, we got nothing for you, dude, but go do this?
Well, first of all, I haven't seen that shoot interview yet. It is sitting in the collection waiting to be watched along with half a dozen other things that I've recently been able to get my hands on. As for what this could be, yeah, I'm getting the feeling of creative going, we have nothing to do. Wait, you have a connection with some of these guys. We'll put you with them for the time being until we can find something better. But one thing I will say, for the love of God, please don't give him a microphone because I didn't understand a damn thing he said.
He was watching The Best Ultimate Warrior and said, I can do this, man.
No, the Warrior promos were actually something I could understand. This was completely beyond Warrior level.
I asked Spug this question, so I'll bring it up to you as well. It's a triple threat so far at Bound for Glory. Now, that may change in the next 2 weeks of show, and then you have the live October 7th event, which Dixie's kind of hinting that that's going to possibly be a recurring theme of doing live every Thursday. Your thoughts with the Pope being out of this match, and should the Pope have been in this and just made it a fatal four-way? Or are you fine with Anderson, Hardy, Angle, with obviously Kurt winning, because you know, if the dude loses, he retires. So, your thoughts?
Sorry, I blanked out for a second, dude.
It happens on the show. It's okay.
We're talking to Kurt Angle. If he loses, he retires, yeah?
Pretty much, unlike Chris Jericho, who was waiting. Yes, this is his end. No, wait, it's not. He's back on Monday night. But he's really leaving. No, wait, he's on the next taping. So, I mean, are you tired of them teasing this whole thing with Angle? It's like, I'm leaving. If I lose, I leave. If I lose, I leave. But I don't want to leave.
Yeah, I'm not buying it at all. I think that once 10-10-10 rolls around, we'll be seeing Kurt Angle as the new champion, leading into a feud with RVD somewhere down the line. I don't think he's going to be retiring anytime soon. I believe he's still got time on his contract.
And he's having a blast from what... It depends on who you talk to. He seems to be having fun. At least, I hope. I mean, who wouldn't? You're working... You just did 3 weeks of TV and a shot. Their ratings seem to be stabilizing off a little bit. Is live TV the best thing for these guys? To either one of you, to Mace first, then the Spug. Is this Test Bunny on Thursday the 7th being live? Do you think this is good for them?
This could be good, could be bad. Personally, but sort of going off something that Tim Stone once said to us all, that they should have done this first before doing the Monday night experiment. I think they're just doing the experiments in the wrong order. Live numbers might help them, especially seeing as they are doing it on their current time slot, where they are practically unopposed by other wrestling shows. So, who knows, maybe it will start bringing people in, because instead of people reading spoilers and going, I can't be bothered watching this week, they now have to tune in to watch what's going to happen. So, yes.
I sure hope they do. I hope they do. And, the fun part comes for, at least for Spug and I being there in America, the fun part, if they do go live Thursday, Spug, is... You've got a college football game every Thursday night on ESPN, and then I think it's right after Thanksgiving, NFL Network, if you actually get it on your cable system, they go Thursday night. So your thoughts on them doing this live Thursday thing in a couple weeks? Or did I totally lose the Spud guy?
I'm here.
Okay, your thoughts on them possibly doing
You've got two, upwards of three college games on a Thursday night. Because
and the main one being on the regular ESPN, which a lot of people get.
ESPN2 will have one. And then ESPN will usually have a doubleheader. They'll have the 8 o'clock game, and then they'll have a West Coast game after that. So you get two or three college games on a Thursday night for one, and we all know how big college football is in this country. We all know how big football, period, is in this country. I like the move because you're still going to get your niche fan base. I think that it's probably a better idea to, unfortunately, we live with it this long, it's probably a better idea to wait until after football season, at least the regular season anyway. I mean, because college football's done by December, as far as regular season football goes. College football's done by December. However, the NFL still has another month after that. I would wait until January to make your move to live Thursday nights. Get rid of the reaction show, go 2 hours, go live, you get rid of spoilers, you get rid of these taping 3 weeks at a time, you get rid of people knowing your pay-per-view card a month or two in advance. It actually does better for your company.
But financially it doesn't, because now you're having to fly people in to Orlando every week, or are you possibly putting the idea of finally traveling TV around? Do you think
I would
pull that
off? You're going to go live every Thursday, it's probably smart that you finally start traveling around. Or you can just charge $112 a seat. You know, because that's going to work so well this weekend.
Absolutely, but I just find that hysterical. The Oklahoma people get that. So check it out this Thursday night, TNA Impact and Reaction. And I believe on that October 7th event, for some real reason, they're doing Reaction live at 11 o'clock. It's like, what the heck? So we're going to take our next scheduled break here. Coming up after the break, we're going to do some indie news, and we're going to have the number one contender to the All-Stars Wrestling ASW Florida Heavyweight Championship this Friday night at Stroker's Billiards in Tampa, Florida. A man known as the J General, the Emerald Emperor, Simon Says, will be joining us on the other side of the break here on BT Night with the Double Knockouts. Cheerleader Melissa at 11 o'clock. We'll be right after this break.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the $1 million man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson, Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith, Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online
website, The Pro Juice, Online World of Wrestling, www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Thursday night, Wild Talk Radio Network becomes a place where anything goes. Prepare to be sinful. Thursdays, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Bob the Fire Mage telling you to tune in to Otaku Talk Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. How am I doing this? Don't tell me I bent laws of space and time again. God damn casting magic missile.
Here in the Wild Talk Radio Network, Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you the folks by ClickWrestle.com, also UndergroundRadio.com, and in a couple weeks, a show that's going to be coming on our network soon. We're very happy to have Jenny Kazmir and Matt Walsh. I believe it's October 5th. They're going to be debuting in front of us at the 8 p.m. slot with a very interesting program called Mind and Body with Matt and Johnny. You can check that out at WildTalkRadio.com. I want you to go to aswflorida.com because I host a neat little podcast, videocast there called ASW Chain Reaction. And if you've been attending the shows the last year at Stroker's Billiards on Hillsborough Avenue, then the man that's about to join us here is very familiar to you. He also wrestles throughout the state of Florida, sometimes for ACW, for Vintage. Was a member of the FXE training school, which we'll address in a moment here. The guy's got more nicknames than Apollo Creed. He's known as the Emerald Emperor. He's known as the Jade General. He is Simon Says. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy evening to join us here on All I Will of Wrestling Radio.
No, thank you for having me, Alan.
And now, the coolest part of your background is you were trained by some interesting folks. Explain how you even got into the wrestling business, because we met at TNA events and then at a subsequent at the FXE training school. So go quick into your background and how you even became involved in pro wrestling.
Well, just like everybody else, I grew up a big fan of pro wrestling. And I worked for Universal Studios doing henna tattoos, and I worked Halloween Horror Nights. So I had my employee ID, and I just started walking around backstage during the taping, and I had a buddy that was doing security at the time. And pretty much I wanted the 2005 TNA Genesis pay-per-view. He disrespected somebody backstage. He made a comment to Terry Taylor or somebody. He threw me a security shirt and said he was leaving. So he left, and I sat around. Pat Kenny was doing the wrangling up of sorts for the security guards, and he saw me holding a shirt, and he beckoned me over, so I put the shirt on. I kind of weaseled my way into doing security there. did security for a number of years, three or four years, and that's why I got hooked up with Gino Caruso, who brought me to FXB, where AJ Gallant and Matt Bentley were running the school.
And now, you, from being friends with you, I know this, you have some very unique health issues that kind of precluded your training. Go into that for me, and whose idea was it for you to actually become Simon Says as a manager before a wrestler?
The health issues were always a hindrance, you know. That's part of the reason why I was going to get the train, because I thought it was going to be a liability and stuff. I have severe scoliosis in the upper and lower parts of my back. I have arthritis in my fingers and in the base of my neck, which caused neck problems recently and stuff. I'm trying to get worked out. And I have diabetes that I'm not a really good diabetic. So all that stuff coupled with a few other things, just they thought it would be best if I became a manager for a while. So I actually didn't start getting into the ring at FXC until 3 months after I started training there, partially by choice, because I had heard Matt Bentley tell a story about a guy that he knew that didn't get into the ring because he thought he earned a spot. So I thought that'd be a good thing to do. So I sat at ringside with my notebook and took notes until finally they told me to get in the ring and do this stuff, which was a good thing, because from watching all those months, I kind of eased my way into it faster than most guys, I guess, despite the lack of time that I spent in the ring for the first 3 months. But yeah, it was that. And I always wanted to be a wrestler, so I never wanted to be the guy standing at ringside watching other people do the things that I knew I could do. So I just finally, after I managed for a year and a half, I think, two years I managed, and then finally just said, I'm going to give it a try and see how far I can go. And January 1st of 2009 was when I first started full-time wrestling. I had done a couple matches here and there. And, that was one thing led to another. I started doing Pro Wrestling Eclipse in 2009, which was a local promotion that was running out of Zephyr Hills. And that's where I, you know, whatever little recognition that I have within the community of wrestling here in Central Florida and stuff like that, Pro Wrestling Eclipse. And then went to ASW from there, American Championship Wrestling, and then now doing Vintage, one of the bigger promotions in Florida. So it was a climb, man. It was an uphill climb.
He is, Simon Says. ASWFlorida.com is the way to find out information about this Friday's All-Stars Anniversary event, where you'll see Simon in a triple threat match taking on the Encore, the Raw Dog, whatever the heck his nickname is this week, Aaron Epic, and the current champion, the leader of the virus, Alex DK. As a manager, who are mentors, models that you use to create your character, and where did the name Simon Says, spelled S-E-Z, come from?
Well, before I started really training to wrestle, James Mitchell at TNA took me under his wing, and we have a lot of similar interests and things, so when he found out that I wanted to get into wrestling, he's the one that helped me work on my promo skills, which is something that a lot of people praise me for, is my ability to talk in the microphone and my promo skills. So there was that. And also, Pat Kenny, Simon Diamond was a big influence on me. Both those guys were, I was huge fans of theirs growing up. So the irony that they play such an intricate role in what I'm doing and who I am today is insane. It's very surreal to me too, because, I went up to Simon the day before I started training and I asked him for his advice, and then it was very, very, impactful, some of the things he said, and there's stuff that still sticks with me today, and stuff that I apply to my life outside of wrestling too. But the Simon Says name actually came about because AJ Gallant decided to make me a manager, and I'm just thinking of a gimmick of what would work, someone to stand at ringside or lead other people and lead his charges to the ring. And I was actually writing down names and ideas and storyline ideas, and then that song, Simon Diamond's song, came on my CD on Shuffle. I thought that's perfect. You know, he was Simon Diamond, but he never actually used the name Simon Says. So I thought it was wrestling is full of cliches and play on words and alliteration and stuff. So I pitched that idea and they liked it, and it went from there. And I got my catchphrase, you know, from there, the music from there. And I made sure to check with Simon, with Pat, before I did anything because I didn't want to feel like I was stepping on his toes or ripping off his gimmick, and he grandfathered it to me to use the music. And just recently, after the big ECW pay-per-view, I sat down and talked to him, telling him about the wrestling and stuff like that, and he urged me to get a robe and to start using, you know, whatever part of his gimmick that I wanted to use. He told me that not to feel apprehensive about it, because if somebody felt that much to pay tribute to his gimmick, that it was all an honor. So yeah, that's pretty much how the Simon Says came to be.
You had mentioned the Vintage promotion and the Northeast All-Stars with Eric Cooper have been going on over there for a while. If I remember right, that came from the ashes of Chris Carson's SCW Florida promotion. For fans that haven't been to a Vintage event, describe the overall atmosphere and working in different areas of Florida. You're doing one thing at Vintage, you're a different person to a totally degree at ASW. Talk about having to adjust your character.
Well, the hardest part about adjusting the character is that since I started working, whether it's training, managing or wrestling, I was always a heel, always. It's just a natural part of me that makes it easy for me to piss people off, and I thrive on antagonizing people. So then I was always a heel. So the hardest part about adjusting my character was when I made the switch from heel to face. At ASW, we didn't know how the people would take to me. We didn't know what was going on. But it actually stemmed from a personal issue I had where I took a month off from ASW and I just didn't show up for a month. And I went from being pretty much the top heel there to, while I was gone, Alex McKay won the title, and out of nowhere, the crowd started chanting for me. And when I first got the text from 20 other guys in the locker room telling me that the crowd was chanting for me, I didn't believe it. I thought they were just, you know, they were ribbing me or whatever, trying to start pulling my leg. But then the following week it kept going and it kept getting bigger and bigger. So then I came just to watch the show, and they talked me into doing a run in at the end and just seeing, you know, test the waters. And when I did, the crowd went crazy and it just stuck. So yeah, it's two totally different worlds, doing the Vintage shows and doing ASW. And from everything, from the building to the crowd size to the locker room to everything. But yeah, trying to realistically piss people off at Vintage and then realistically get the people behind me at ASW, knowing that a lot of them travel to the same shows, is a huge, huge, huge task to undertake. But I love it. I love challenges. And so there's always, in the back of my mind, as much as I love being a heel, I always wanted to try my hand to see how I work as a babyface.
He is Simon Says of ASW All-Stars Anniversary this Friday night. This past Friday, you were in a singles match with Aaron Epic to set up a number one contender for Alex Decay at this Friday's event. Now, fans can go to aswflorida.com and watch the Chain Reaction show that I host with Jason Davis as our executive producer and see what we're going to address here. You guys went to a time limit draw, only to have a few more minutes added on, and you end up getting attacked by the virus. Your thoughts overall on the idea of the number one contender tournament? Being a former champ, did you feel you should have bypassed this thing completely and gotten a straight up shot with Decay? And talk about this Friday night in the triple threat match.
One of the first things that I heard before coming on the show is not to curse, and I'm going to do my best because this situation really pisses me off. Because, number one, after I lost the title, mind you, a lot of people may not know this, but I've never been pinned, and I've never submitted at ASW. I've never had anybody make me tap, and I've never had my shoulders pinned through the mat, so I've never actually lost in that form. And when I lost the ASW title, I lost it in a triple threat match. Chaotic Romeo pinned Nick Fame to win that title. And so not only did I not get pinned, but I never got my rematch for that title. I have, when Eddie Torres was champion, didn't get a chance to face him. I still have yet to have a one-on-one with Alex Decay. And for those people that saw the match on Friday, Aaron Epic and I left everything in the ring. Like, we literally kicked the crap out of each other in that match. And you were backstage and you saw the after effects of what went on, man. It was rough.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Before the time limit, man, you saw me hit the clothesline, and Epic was on and out. Unfortunately, the time ran out. I couldn't believe it was 20 minutes. But when we added the 5 minutes on, I knew where Epic stood physically, and I knew I had his number. And when the virus, I almost dropped the F-bomb there. When the virus, like, my heart sank because I had it, man. You know, I had it. You were there. You were watching it. You had your Epic T-shirt on. And I could see the look on your face when I glanced over, and I had it. So now instead of me getting, let's say, a one-on-one against Alex McKay at the anniversary show, there's an added variable in that development with Aaron Epic.
Now, at this event, fans are also going to see a couple of the matches, and we'll get your take on them as a fan and as a wrestler, having faced some of these folks. The last couple of weeks, your former Northeast All-Stars partner, Eric Cooper, has been back and basically dishing what many of us have felt as tough love. And he wanted you this Friday night, but Eddie Torres, the former champ, the Raging Bull, stepped in. If you were a betting man, first off, address Eric Cooper, because a couple weeks ago when we did a post-show interview, you didn't want to address him, so... Now you got a few million people listening to you. Are you going to duck the Eric Cooper situation, or do you, in PG form, can you address Eric Cooper and who you would pick in this match?
One of the things that I learned it the rough way, but it helped me out a lot in wrestling and stuff, and in life, actually, is I was taught how to distinguish personal from business. The whole Eric Cooper thing stemmed from something personal, which is why I'm not comfortable talking about it, which is why I don't understand. When Eric Cooper hit the ring after my match with Eddie Torres, that was very real. That was as real as it gets in wrestling. And I know a lot of people are not going to believe that. A lot of people have been told that, but Cooper coming out before the match and sitting on stage was a complete surprise. We had talked the entire day. He and I have been weird for the last couple months before that. Him and I were as close can be. Did everything together. You know, we hung out at the parks together all the time. He comes to my trivia shows. We hung out at karaoke. And things just kind of fell apart with Coop and I. And then out of nowhere, I started receiving these texts from him saying he's coming back to ASW, that he's looking forward to sort of mend things. And we talked that day. It was such a breath of fresh air to be able to talk to my buddy again. And he sat with me in the locker room as I got ready for my match against Eddie. So, you know, for him to do what he did after the match, like, I don't know, it legitimately caught me completely off guard. Not just the fact of what he did, you know, him slapping me and stuff, but the way he started it, just he came in and praised me, and I don't know, it just 180 degrees. I don't even think Cooper knew what he was doing, you know, because he came in there and he was praising, and he seemed fine, and I don't know, it just when. I don't know. I honestly don't know. That's part of the reason why I didn't want to talk about it, because I don't know the answers to give you what happened.
That's fair enough. We'll let it go for there, because I don't want to get you rare into that Sorokin's going to have to hit buttons and launch missile codes and all that kind of craziness. Now, also event, there's two other championship matches. You've got a barroom brawl with the Highwaymen, Butch Long, Mark Mandrake, with their advisors, Star Stevens and Ferrari, taking on the current champions, representing the FXE faction, and Mike Cruz and Gus Money. If you were a betting man, which, judging from being around you, you are a little bit, who's the money on in Vegas and at the locker rooms for this match? Do the champs walk out, or does this barroom thing just sew up the Highwaymen's alley? It's like shine the belts up and pass them on to the Stars and Bars carrying guys.
Well, that's completely ironic that you asked me what the Vegas odds are. I'm actually sitting in the car right now with my buddy Gene McGee. He's the warm-up guy for TNA. He used to be the TNA towel guy that would have the, what towel were they, Gene? The Atlanta Falcons towel, and he just flew in from Vegas. So we were talking about ASW and talking about, you know, who the odds on favorites, who the odds are, you know, to win the matches, and we're talking about the FXC guys, because Gene, I've known Gene pretty much the entire time I've been training. Gene knows all the FXC guys, and while, yeah, Gene was the ring announcer for the FXC shows, So, like while, you know, Biff and Cruz and Gus and Mac and all those guys are doing their own thing, I don't really agree with the way they've taken the model of what FXC used to be and bent it to justify what they're doing. You know, they're successful. You can't take it away from them, but just, you know, we talked about me joining the FXC faction, but just right now those guys, heat by association is the best way to describe it. Those guys are heat magnets. They very much legitimately had the cops called on them at ASW for the beatdown they gave Shooter Storm and Joey Knight in the parking lot. The cops were called. Those guys are wrestlers. They were trained to wrestle. They're athletes, but they can throw down. However, the Highwaymen are, man, those guys are, I don't even know where to start. I've seen Butch Long and Mandrake kill each other in one-on-one matches, and I only shudder to think what they can do to two opponents that they have genuine disdain for, like Cruz and Gus. Because Cruz and Gus are not the biggest guys in the world, so for them to spit beer in Mandrake and Butch face, those, the Highwaymen came backstage and flipped just about every single piece of furniture we had in the ASW locker room. It took a good portion of the guys in security, and some of the bartenders from Soldiers had to get involved. Those guys are livid. But you can cut the tension with a knife in the locker room when you walk in. Not even just with them, with Bobby and Biff and those guys. You know, they used to be roommates, and they used to do everything together. Those guys are like Timon and Pumbaa, and it seems like the anniversary show has such like emotional factor going on behind it. I really wish, you know, the fans could grasp just what these guys are doing and how real a lot of what's going on is. You hear the word real or shoot thrown around wrestling a lot, but like this, it lights a fire, under your butt, knowing, you know, that what you're doing is as real as it gets. And the fans that do go to stroke it, I think they understand and appreciate the fact that there's a lot of emotions behind what these guys are doing, especially the Highwaymen and the FXC feud, because it went from FXC trying to prove that they're on a whole other level, you know, whatever the catchphrase is, to it got personal with the Highwaymen. So it's going to be a mess. It's going to be a ballroom brawl. The Highwaymen show up the Strokers. Sometimes they don't even change in the locker room with us. They sit out there, and they come in their gear, they sit out in the crowd and drink beer, and then just walk to the ring when it's time to throw down. And I don't know, man. If I had to put my money on anybody, it's the Highwaymen and their element, and they have that emotional factor behind them, you know, driving them. So I would definitely put my money on the Highwaymen.
Now, when you talk about emotional level for this Friday's All-Stars Anniversary Show, it doesn't get any more emotional than the Dancing Machine Bobby Fonta and Biff Slater of the FXE, because they've been going at it for months, including management putting down restrictions that they can't attack Bobby can't attack them. Now you get the greatest factor of all. The manager at Champions, Bill Alfonso, a couple weeks ago advised Bobby Fonta in the number one contender tournament, and it didn't work out against the greatest of all time, David Mercury. Now he's claiming, Simon, that he's going to call us down the middle as the special referee. You've been on both sides of the fence. You've been to the bad side and to the good side. Put yourself in their shoes for a second. Are you trusting Bill Alfonso here? Do you think that there's some chicanery with FXE in his pocket? Or is he sticking with the fans and Bobby? Where does the J General feel this has fallen?
Fonzie, his past is well documented. You know, as the evil referee in that ECW, the man disqualified Tommy Dreamer for throwing a punch, you know, and he was the evil ref in every sense of the word. However, when Fonzie first came to Strokers, it was a surprise to all of us, and the way he approached everybody, he was very humble. Something that, it's not that I wouldn't expect it, but I was pleasantly surprised that someone that has been to the level of the business that he's been to, for him to talk to us like he's on our level, and to make us feel like he's on our level, he was very, very humble. The very first time he came out and actually worked with Bobby, he managed Bobby, and he took pictures for free. He didn't take a dime from the management at ASW. He didn't take any money for the pictures, for nothing. He said that if I heard him telling them that if they could pay him, he wanted to get what all the rest of the boys were getting. So I think Fozzie is at a, I like to think that Fozzie's at a point in his career where he's trying to give back to the business, and he knows that he's got a big group of impressionable guys that are looking up to him and the way he's doing things. So I'd be very surprised to see Fozzie lean one way or another. If he were to lean, I could see him trying to even the odds for Bobby with, all the interference of Don Maximo and Cruz and Gus, looming the balance, it's hanging over the match like the sword of Damocles, I could see Fozzie doing that, but as far as Fozzie screwing Bob or going back to the EOF, maybe it's wishful thinking, but I don't think that's even a possibility with the way Fozzie is, at this point in his career now.
With our remaining moments here, what Simon says of ASW Florida, ASWFlorida.com and Wrestling911.com are places you can find out about this event. You can also find out about the Florida Rumble, I believe it is, at WrestlingVintage.com. What's the likelihood that we see Simon Says involved in this? And describe for fans what exactly the Florida Rumble is.
The Florida Rumble is basically like the classic Royal Rumble pay-per-view. 30 guys in Sanford at the Salvation Army, 700 West 24th Street. And two guys start off. Every 90 seconds, I believe it is, another guy enters until there's only one guy standing, elimination style, to throw the opponent over the top rope until there's one more standing. And the winner goes on to face the champion, who currently is Jesse Neal, at Wrestle Brawl in January. So the stakes are super high for that. Last year, I lasted about 15 minutes in the Florida Rumble. I was on the outside, stretching and doing push-ups and jumping jacks, and it was actually Bobby Fontes that eliminated me, but a lot of the guys and a lot of the fans very, very much look forward to the Florida Rumble every year. It's one of Vintage Wrestling's stable events, and it's entertaining as hell, and like I said, the stakes are super high. Anybody from a Sam Shaw and Adam Epic, to the young guys like Josh Rain or Michael O'Toole, for you guys that know those names, can win a spot and face Jesse Neal and completely elevate and propel their career to the next level.
Alrighty. It is ASWFlorida.com is where you can also check out Wrestling911.com, a little program I did with Jason Davis called ASW Chain Reaction. You can find out about all these events. We're going to let the J General slide because I know he's going back to Club Says with some nourishment. So thanks for taking the time with us here, and we'll talk to you on Friday. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you, buddy. Have a good night, bud. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care. Coming up after the break, she is scheduled to be here. Cheerleader Melissa is scheduled to be here in the 11 o'clock hour of Online World of Wrestling Radio here on BT Night for your musical interlude. We're going to go to commercial break, and hopefully Melissa will be joining us on Online World of Wrestling Radio.
Hello?
Looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans? Then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions. As well, there are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official eFed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forums, OWW Genesis, right now at onlineworldofwrestling.com.
Do you live in the Philadelphia, Washington, Cross, New Jersey area and are in need of a licensed massage therapist? Then you need Johnny Cashmere. He specializes in a full body relaxation experience in 30, 50, and 90 minute sessions. Deep tissue and pressure point treatment are also available. His office hours are 9 to 5 p.m., Monday to Friday. To make an appointment, email backseatjk@aim.com. Johnny also offers one-on-one yoga and meditation sessions. What are you waiting for? Set up your appointment to relaxation now.
You know, the more things change, the more things stay the same. For as long as the internet wrestling community has been around, there have been people and internet radio shows that will bitch and complain about every little thing they see. Well, the crew over at WrestleTalk Radio are trying to change that by highlighting the positives of each and every WWE and TNA event. These wrestlers put their body on the line to entertain us each and every week. So how about we praise them instead of bitching about the little things that get to us? So with that in mind, you should come listen to WrestleTalk Radio, Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, or right after any WWE or TNA pay-per-view, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Because this is how we say thank you to those that entertain us.
Have a certain passion. Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with CB Radio or Anything Goes, or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talk We Talk Live. All you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to Online World. You're brought by the Wild Talk Radio Network. This is Double Knockout Night. It's also BT Night. Go to btmusic.com. You can check out his brand new CD and his other catalog. The brand new CD is called These Hopeful Machines. I can admit, Spug said he saw him in concert. I lucked out. I saw him
on a tour where his set was opened by the legendary Thomas Dolby. And I just sat there with my jaw going, holy crap, that's Thomas Dolby. This is so cool. 877-588-9877, option one is a way to join us here on the show. You can also Skype Sir Rockin. It is called Double Knockout Night because our first knockout was the lovely and talented Miss Tracy Brooks. Our second half of the knockouts joining us right now. If you were a fan of TNA wrestling the last couple of years, you saw her, well, now we can say you saw her, as the very mysterious Raisha Saeed. And then you also saw her as the very cocky and confident Alyssa Flash. But if you've been watching indie wrestling for the last few years, including Shimmer, including Chick Fight, you've seen her, you know her, and hopefully you love her. Cheerleader Melissa joining us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. Good evening, and thank you for taking time for us.
Of course. Have me on the show.
Yes. I wasn't a part of the administration when you were here last, so I apologize for not having you back sooner.
Oh, no apology needed.
And you were a part. Yeah, you were a part of the most recent Shimmer tapings that saw the return to the indies of Serena Deeb, formerly known as Serena of the Straight Edge Society. Take us to that event. How do you feel she was received, and did she happen to mention you in any way about, like, was it like the 800-pound gorilla off her back? Go, I'm so happy to be here, or was she just like, I don't know what I'm doing here, but I'm happy to be here?
No, she was very, very well received. Steve, it was a pleasure to have, you know, we worked, most of us worked with her. I didn't work with her on a singles before WWE nor after, but, you know, she was on a lot of the Shimmer tapings before she went to WWE. So the welcome backstage and throughout the audience was very, very well received, and she was just in good spirits. It was very, very nice to have her back, and luckily I got to tag with her for the main event on the last taping, so that was really cool.
And that is Shimmer, which is the product of Dave Prazak and the lovely Allison Danger. For fans that have never attended a Shimmer event, give them the overall atmosphere for this, because, I mean, it's a two-day taping, but it just from what it seems like when you watch the Shimmer athletes DVDs, looks like everyone, including the folks in the ring, the timekeeper, the ring, everyone is having a blast. Is that really how it is with this company?
You know what, every Shimmer taping I've been to, everybody is usually and always in good spirits. And what's really nice is the type of fans that we have there are incredibly big female wrestling supporters. So it's always good to, you know, they just bring so much to the atmosphere as the day goes on, as the bigger matches come up. Yeah, it's a two-day event. And they do four tapings. So it's the first taping, intermission, second taping, and then the day's done, and then we repeat it the next day. And also, what's good about it is that there's a lot of interaction with the talent and the fans. After each event, there's usually, after maybe like at an after party at a restaurant, you know, where all the talent will stop by. So for any, you know, hardcore female wrestling fan, it's a very, very good experience and one event that should at least attend, at least at one point in their life.
Now, you've wrestled for a lot of different promotions. For fans of Chick Fight, haven't seen Chick Fight, that are Shimmer fans, and there may be some Chick Fight fans that are going, I don't want to watch the Shimmer. How are these Chick Fight events different? Because I know they've done some in America and done some in Europe. So explain the Chick Fight concept for me, if you could.
The Chick Fight concept started off as a tournament. So each Chick Fight was a tournament, and they always try to change up the roster. And it's there's a little bit different variety, and it could be, and some of the shows are especially a lot more edgier, and some of the matches take some really good hardcore matches as well. There's a three-way between me, Miss Chips, and Mercedes that was just absolutely brutal. I think the three of us came out of that match looking like just a complete mess, like a car had run over and backed up over us three times each.
Wow.
But still, you know, the Chick-fil-A DVDs are still for sale, and can also view them on quickwrestle.com as well. And I also, when I go to any event, I usually have my DVDs with me.
877-588-9877, option one is the way to join us on online World of Wrestling Radio or Sir Rockin' via the Skype network. I am Alan Wojcik along with the Spug Guy from Wrestle Talk Radio on Sunday nights, and also our man from down under, Mace, who, when we told him that cheerleader Melissa was coming on, he immediately said, oh yes, I've been dying to ask Shimmer questions to someone from the company who's wrestled for them. So Mace, you got the floor, my man.
It's not so much as the general Shimmer questions. It's actually one particular opponent. If you're able to cast your memory back to what essentially became Shimmer Volume 28, otherwise known as November 8th, 2009, you took on one of my fellow country people in the Rate Tank, Kelly Slater, Skater.
And
I don't know how friendly you are with Kelly. I've had a bit of a problem with her being in Shimmer, especially given the fact that when she first broke into the business, I was a part of the same company and tried to give her advice when she first broke in, and she basically snubbed her nose at everybody, which I see made it into her character, which doesn't surprise me in the slightest. I'm just wondering, what was it like to wrestle one of ours, and how do you think we rate against some of the other opponents? I know you've gone up against plenty of absolutely brilliant and very technically sound women's wrestlers from practically all over the world. I'm just wondering, where would Australia rank?
Gosh, I haven't wrestled every single girl from Australia, so I don't think it's appropriate for me to be giving Australia a rank. However, at the last show, and at the show before that, I wrestled Madison Eagles both times, and she's extremely talented. You know, her work is very, very clean in the very, very clean in the ring, and she's got a lot of experience, and I definitely have a lot of respect for her. Going back to the match with Kelly Skater, it's funny that you would ask a question like that, because really that whole match was Kelly taking a complete obscene beating from me. So she took a massive beating from me, that girl.
Oh yes, I definitely remember the throwing her into the railing. I think it was something like 13 or 15 times in
a
row.
She holds my record.
Yeah, and I could definitely tell that while she was trying to cover up to minimize the damage, somehow you were able to turn her sideways and throw her back of her head into it a few times, which looked extremely brutal. But I've only recently gotten into Shimmer overall, and it's great to see that there is a company like that out there that is completely devoted to women's wrestling. Personal opinion is that women's wrestling does not get a high enough praise on a world level, so definitely it's great to see something like
and
that.
Not only that is to see these different type of levels from all different parts of the world. You have Japan. It's really exciting to have, you know, right there at that event, technically, you know, that's four different, you know, countries right there. We have United States, Canada, Japan, you know, and Australia, and I think that's very, very exciting. You know, and at previous Shimmers, we had girls from the UK, and I think this is very, very exciting to have girls from all over the world bringing the talent, you know, to one full location.
Yeah, and just the other question I would like to ask is, you know, you've been to TNA and you've also done independents for quite a long time. In sort of a general, so like when it comes down to planning the matches, going through the matches, overall crowd excitement, which do you feel is the place that you, I hate to use the word belong, because, you know, you belong in wrestling, it's the general field, but what would you prefer? Have you had more fun working on the indies? Did you have fun working in TNA? You know, where does sort of the... I don't want to cause favoritism, but I'm going to anyway.
And it's weird. It's not really causing favoritism, too, because, you know, both are different. The thing is that both are different challenges, whether you're working on the indies, whether, you know, working for companies like Shimmer or working for television, you know. And the thing that's different on television, you know, whether it's taped it live, is that, you know, you have to execute. I mean, it goes all independence, but you have to execute someone's vision, and you are given a time frame, and you have to be able to basically, you know, put yourself out there and execute what you need to get done within a restricted time frame that is designed for television. As compared to on the indie circuit, you know, there's a little bit more time because usually independent shows are more catered to DVD. So promoters or, you know, their production team on the independent, you know, cut down the matches how they want to or not at all, depending how they want the show. You know, Shimmer matches, you know, go from anywhere, you know, from 5 to, you know, 15, 20, 30 minutes. And when there's more time, then there's a lot more flexibility. But like I said, you know, when you're doing something for television, there's a little more restraint, and you have to be on your game for that and cater to that. So, I mean, nonetheless, both are fun and both have its own challenges. And whatever mode you're in, it's the mode and the game that you have to give. That's what it is.
Now, you spent quite a bit of time in TNA,
and
one of your last incarnations in TNA was as a Muslim woman named Raisha Saeed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, given the current state of the country and bias towards that group of individuals, did you find it hard to portray that gimmick? Was there a lot of fan backlash towards you for that gimmick?
No, not really, and it wasn't difficult at all. It was actually a character that I hold kind of personal. You know, if I felt completely stranger to the character or the idea, then I think I would have felt a lot differently about that now. But I have a lot of Arabic, you know, family and friends. I myself am not Arabic, but I have a lot of Arabic family and friends, and I also happen to know a little bit of Arabic, which was easy for me to take that character a little more personally and very seriously and feel, you know, and I did the best I could for Raisha. You know, even the lady, the woman who designs a lot of my costumes in the indie circuit, she's Arabic, and she designed Raisha's robe and her ring attire, so they were very well receptive. They loved that. They loved that. They loved the idea that I was doing that. So that was my reception. I didn't get any, I got very little to no backlash for that character.
Now, who actually came up with it? Was it you? Was it Russo and Creative? And what was your initial work? I mean, you knew Kong from the indies. What was the working relationship like with her?
My working relationship with Kong has always been fantastic. Fantastic. Her and I get along well and just have that natural chemistry. That was there beforehand. And as far as the idea and the character was presented, through creative, through Dutch Mantel at the time. And, when I was told about the character, it sounded like something, you know, something I can, do easily. And as a matter of fact, a character very similar to that was presented to me years ago, through World Wrestling Entertainment, which never went up. That was actually, I don't know if you remember the Muhammad Hassan era. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, it was before that. The character very similar to that was presented to me before they were bringing that up to television. And it just never went through. At the time, they didn't want to hire on any more female wrestlers, and they went a different direction. So that's a whole separate story right there. But, it was presented by Dutch.
She is cheerleader Melissa joining us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by cookwrestle.com, which is an on-demand site where you can find matches with people like cheerleader Melissa. Doing the research for your interview, I come to find that you had WWE tryouts on your resume in addition to the TNA situation. Now, I've met plenty of people over my career doing this that have gone through the tryout, process. Take fans through getting to the building at Aurora SmackDown for the tryout, through it, and what do you do right and do wrong? What's your etiquette at an event like that?
Well, first of all, it depends on, you know, what you're being called down there for, you know, for a tryout or to be looked at, or maybe they might have a specific character possibly in mind, and you could possibly fill that role for them, which is, you know, the case that happened with Raisha years ago. Of course, you know, there's the proper basic etiquette of saying hello to everybody, shaking everyone's hands. There's the respect, but at the same time, what you have to remember is that the worst possible thing you can do, and this is told from one of the agents at WWE, is a blend in. You know, when people are looking at you and you have the opportunity to get in the ring, you know, it's your time to shine, stand out, be different. That's what they want to see. It's what a creative wants to. They want to see that something different. They want to see it that they can make money off of. So it's always good to keep that in mind is, you know, when you get your time in the ring, you know, it's your time to shine and stand out. You know, don't try to blend in. Because then how does that make you different from the next person in line?
Oh. At one point or another, Raisha went from being a ringside person to actually getting in the ring. Did they at any point say to you, okay, the Burka, we're going to try it in the ring and see how it goes? Or was it your idea to say to them, you know what, I got to lose this thing if I'm going to get in the ring, but I'll keep the veil on? And how much are you honestly sweating in that thing? Because I've been in the impact zone. And it's not exactly the coldest place on earth, but it's not exactly the hottest.
Who do you think you're telling? You didn't have to wear the costume. It worked out. The veil, like I said, you know, I'm very familiar with the culture, and I knew that veil wasn't going to come off. So there were a couple adjustments and a couple of test runs, but ultimately, the veil is sewn onto a lucha-style wrestling mask, and the veil itself on the very end is actually attached to the costume, so it doesn't get in my way or my eyes, but it's probably one of the most tricky, complicated masks. Maybe not the most complicated, but it certainly is one of the most tricky masks that was designed for that character.
Oh. As obviously we're sitting here months after the fact, whose idea was it for Raisha to be on one segment and then a couple segments later, this very charismatic young lady named Alyssa Flash shows up? Was that you doing that? Creative doing that? Who was in charge of that? And which did you honestly prefer? Did you prefer Raisha or did you prefer the Alyssa Flash deal?
Well, I was happy either way, but, you know, it's not, I'll say Alyssa Flash, though, because my face was free, and I was a lot cooler in her outfits than I was with Raisha's. How about that? But segment to segment, yep, I definitely remember those times. But honestly, when they would put me segment after segment, that was actually one of my favorite times, because I would actually pull a little Superman. If I was out there as Raisha, I was actually wearing the Alyssa Flash costume underneath, and I'd do a little Superman change backstage and then go out and do the next match.
One of the folks in our chat room, Jersey Girl, wanted me to ask, were you at TNA the night that the infamous Bubba the Love Sponge incident went down, and can you comment on the overall situation?
I cannot, because I was not there.
Okay, but when you first heard about it, were you surprised that Kong reacted the way she did?
Yes and no, because, I mean, that's a very sensitive subject, and, you know, when somebody with a really good heart like Kong has, you know, as a big monster she is on television, she's got the biggest heart in the world, and for anybody who follows her on Twitter, I mean, she put in a lot and a lot and a lot of effort to raising money for the Haiti Foundation. She put a lot of work. She teamed up with DJ Seth Gold and did some events and got a lot of other wrestlers involved on the East Coast. You know, so I can completely understand, you know, I didn't expect, you know, things to go as far as it did, but, I mean, I understand her reaction. I mean, that's a very, you know, when you work so hard at something and then somebody in your own company plays down on it, you know, people are going to react.
Now, as obviously we've outlined here, you are a former Knockout. Sure, this is a sensitive topic to you even all these months later, but you were future endeavored either by your own choice or by creative's choice. What actually led to it? Was it just too many people in the kitchen and not enough places to sit at the table? Or what made you choose to leave Raisha and Alyssa in Orlando and go off back to Shimmer and other promotions?
You know, there are just so many changes. You know, it's plain and simple. There's just so many changes being going on backstage, and the staff was changing, and the creative team left and right. You know, and the direction was changing when Hogan was coming in. So, you know, it's just, it didn't seem like a place where, you know, I was being fit in anymore. You know, towards the end of the year, Raisha Saeed was written out. And at the time, you know, it was just the right choice because my contract was expiring. So that was that. It's been really fun.
Now, I got one more, and then Spug has a question that he asks everybody, no matter who they are, what they've done in the industry. To take yourself back to the beginning of your career and the creation of Cheerleader Melissa to now, how has the character of Cheerleader Melissa changed? For fans that may not have seen you back with the Ballad Brothers and UPW and other promotions to today, how has she changed?
My goodness. A lot. And it's funny you said that because a fan sent me a picture, I think to be autographed. I'm looking at it right now of the old school cheerleader, Melissa. Well, first of all, she's no longer Canadian. She's now from San Francisco. She went from being a manager and a evil cheerleader to probably a very, very vicious, straight up wrestler. I mean, gosh, there's just been so many changes. I don't even know where to begin. Everything's changed. My look, the costumes, my background.
All right, you got the platform, Spug. Now, before he asks this, I want to mention that Steve Corino has the most colorful story, so you got a big billing to live up to here. And keep your answer PG-rated, so Spug, you have the floor, sir.
I ask everybody this because I love story time. I'm a big fan.
Oh boy.
What is the best rib you have ever been a part of, seen, or had played on you?
Oh my gosh, I hate being put on the spot because I can't think. And I know after I hang up with you, it's going to come to my mind. That's the worst.
You know, I'll stall for a second or two so you can hear other stories that have been told to us and see if they compare. Carino talked about going overseas with C.W. Anderson and going to a bar somewhere in Japan or Thailand and seeing a woman that basically was Samoa Joe in heels, and it was a building where it was like an S&M den. We had Kenny King involved with a fake stabbing of Brian Danielson with Delirious and El Generico and all kinds of craziness. Adam Pearce talked about using used toilet paper in a number two situation and stuffing them into Colt Cabana's jacket during his rookie year. So, I mean, we're not exactly talking about, you know, Dynamite Kid, Johnny Valentine, horror ribs, but any lighthearted stuff that you could think of?
Any lighthearted stuff? Well,
Okay, any hardcore evil stuff?
Like I said, when I get put on the spot, I cannot think of anything to save my life. It's the worst. I can... Gosh, I mean, the first little lighthearted thing that came into my mind, I remember, a lot of people played a rib on it was Jackie Moore. We had Jackie Moore on board at TNA, and then they told her that she got taken off like a whole bunch of house shows for the whole day. She was just like walking around set like and was about to have a talk with somebody. I'm like, why am I being taken off all these shows? I'm trying to think of some. Gosh, and I know there's so many too. Probably some, you know what it is. Probably some of them are so horrible I don't want to remember them. That's what it is.
That's okay. We're totally cool with it. We know you're pressed for time. Give the fans Julian and Melissa's, the official website, julianandmelissa.com. How much interaction do you have in the site, and what can fans find there?
Fans can find my updates, what's going on. But at this time, there's not a lot of interaction. I said that my most interaction I have right now is Twitter, so I just follow me on Twitter. My Twitter username is FutureLegendCF. And the CF part stands for Chick Fight. So Future Legend CF, that is my Twitter account. And I will answer questions. I also have a public email. It's cheerleadermelissafans@gmail.com. And people email me on that as well. So but I'm on Facebook, MySpace. I'm on all those active sites. And then, of course, there's all of my matches, which are usually on quickwrestle.com. So I want to get your dose of with a Flash or a Fayette or Cheerleader Melissa at www.quickwrestle.com.
They are a sponsor, and we love having them with us here. Thank you so much for taking time out of your life for us. Check out Shimmer. She's all over those DVDs. Coming up after the break, we'll get into some indie news and some interesting results from last night's Monday Night Raw. And we're not even talking about what happened in the ring. We'll be back on the other side of the break. Stay with us on World of Wrestling Radio.
Wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as...
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talents today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy.
Christian Cage.
Brett Derry.
Candice LaSalle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the $1 million man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Wickerman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
If you run a webcast or have a podcast, audio blog, etc., and you need the occasional liner, sweeper, bumper, or intro, check out VeoLiners.com.
VeoLiners.com is a free service bringing the internet broadcasting community together.
Membership is free, and you can log in anytime.
Simply post your script request and let another community member take it from there. It's that easy. Then come back and check your post and download the completed audio.
It's also a great site to add to your portfolio. Gain practical experience by helping your fellow members out and recording their requests.
Remember, it's 100% free to join and use.
VOLiners.com. Voiceovers, liners, sweepers, and bumpers for your broadcasts. Join today.
Here's a great way to stay up to date with the Wild Talk Radio Network. Sign up for the official WTR newsletter. That's right, Wild Talk Radio now has an official newsletter, the only place to keep up to date on the goings-on in the WTR universe. From show previews, exclusive interviews with the hosts and celebrities, and special contests just for those who sign up. Submit your email address and subscribe today to the WTR newsletter. Hey everyone, this is the original voice of wrestling, Tim Stein. Catch me talking sense about the WWE, TNA, and the rest on the real voice of professional wrestling talk, Wrestle Talk Radio, Sunday nights, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I don't think Spug wants me to talk. Spug doesn't want me talking because he's like, that's my jam, man. That's my jam from back in the day.
No, no.
Welcome back.
Godspeed was my jam, and you played like 3 seconds of it.
Yeah, I was hoping he would have possibly done it. I was trying to get it at the end there. Welcome back to the third hour of Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network, undergroundradio.com. Click Wrestle On Demand, as Julie and Melissa mentioned. It's a great site to go to. Very affordable for matches, including her, Tracy Brooks, a lot of indie stars, Eric Cannon, Chris Hero, Kazarian, AJ Styles in there back in the day. As we mentioned, it is BT night. Next week, I already have set the music. Next week, because of a guest that we can announce, we'll announce him in a few minutes here. Next week, we're going to Hollis, as in Hollis, Queens. It will be Run DMC night next week. So you're going to have to deal with that if you don't like it too bad. Before we get into some late-breaking news involving World Wrestling Entertainment, if you live in the Orlando area, three different events are going to be going on in a two-day period by the wonderful Wrestling for a Cause group. This Saturday night, a Akoi Explosion will be taking place at the Akoi High School Gymnasium. This event will be benefiting the Akoi Foundation and Akoi High School. Tickets are $10 in advance, $12 at the door. The gymnasium is at 1925 Akoi Crown Point Parkway. For all of these events, you can purchase tickets at wrestlingforacause.org. Believe it or not, the same night up the road in Eustace, Florida, at the Lake County Fairgrounds, 2101 North County Road, 452.
That event is Summer Impact, also going to benefit Eustis High School. That's got a 7 p.m. bell time, same ticket price, 10 in advance, 12 at the door. If you go to WrestlingForACause.org, you can purchase in advance with credit card at a secure site. And this Sunday, to benefit the St. Cloud Youth Football, Kissimmee Carnage will take place at the Osceola Heritage Park Exhibition Hall, which is 1875 Silver Spurs Lane in Kissimmee. 10 in advance, 15 at the door. Certain folks you're going to see at these events include Big Vito, Iceman Buck Quartermain, the Black Nature Boy Scoot Andrews, Moose Madison, possibly the 7'1" Titan, possibly former WWE TNA star Kip James. Go to WrestlingForACause.org. It's a wonderful event to go to. It is extremely family-friendly, and I hope you check it out. And when we were on break, Spug was very vocal, and I don't want to talk about this, but we're going to, because this is a holy crap moment for me, because I am one of these people. I follow numbers. I follow Nielsen ratings. Family members work for Nielsen, so I see all this kind of craziness show up all the time. Mace brought this up to us. Last night's episode of Monday Night Raw, which went head-to-head with a lot of premieres on CBS, NBC. I know Chuck was back. The Event was on. How I Met Your Mother That I'll Never Tell You Until the Show Ends was on. You had Monday Night Football. Monday Night Raw last night did an overall cable rating of 2.8. Now, we wouldn't be talking about this if, oh my God, it was the lowest of 2010. Now stay with me, and I'll let Spug have the floor in a minute, because I know he's pacing back and forth with a cigarette going, who cares about this crap? The show drew hours of 2.77 and 2.82. I'm not bashing Chuck, because I got that in my DVR, dude. I'm ready for Chuck season to start up. Now,
House was on last night, too.
And Raw averaged 3.9 million viewers, with 3.91 million in the first hour and 3.95 in the second. Now, why are we bringing this up is also because the WWE flagship program has not scored below a 3.0 since November 17th of 2008. It's the first time that viewership has dropped below 4 million since New Year's Eve 2007. Now, to me, this is like, holy crap. What's going on here? To Spug, however, you have a different view of this, so go right ahead, sir.
Do you know what two teams played on Monday Night Football last night?
Yeah, New Orleans and San Francisco, and New Orleans won 5-22 on one of the worst looking field goals I've ever seen.
And who is the reigning Super Bowl champion?
New Orleans Saints.
And who is one of the most popular teams in the NFL right now?
New York Jets.
Sorry, I had to go there. I'm a Jets fan. I couldn't leave the Jets heckin' suck.
Yeah, that's right. That's why New England got embarrassed after Brady shot his mouth off on TV. I'll feed into what you're saying here. Yes, New Orleans is very popular.
And who is one of the most popular teams of all time in the NFL?
New York Giants. Sorry, yeah, I'll go with you. I'll play a New York thing here. Yes, the San Francisco 49ers.
You have the Monday Night Football scored a 10-point-something rating. I don't give a shit about ratings numbers, but everybody wants to freak out because Raw dropped below a 3. One, it wasn't that interesting of a show. Two, you had two teams who were two of the most popular teams in the NFL right now and ever playing last night. It actually was one hell of a game. Two, and three, I bet you if you look back through the last, I'm going to say 6 to 7 years, when football began to rise in popularity and wrestling began to sink, you will see from the time Monday Night Football comes on during the season to when it goes off the air at the end of the regular season, you will see a dip in wrestling ratings at that time period because people are switching over to watch football. As much as people like wrestling, people in America like their football more.
Now, being the Australian contingent here, and you're going, football that crap in, football, I'll show you. Football, here's the rugby. Break that number down for us
rugby
as a wrestling
football
viewer. Rugby's not football either. Football's
nope.
The soccer to us, right? Is that how you
nope.
feel?
Nope, we have a completely different game that's actually called Australian rules football, that we have the, well, what is the equivalent of what you guys, well, we have the grand final over here this weekend. It's basically the same thing as you guys having the Super Bowl over there. So, you know, any other TV show going up against us is going to get slaughtered in the ratings anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But as for me, like, we're considered a completely demographic when it comes to ratings over here. Like, I was listening to an interview with Jeremy Borash by another show a couple of weeks ago, and TNA is actually one of the higher rating shows here in the Australian market, whereas in the US it's not doing so well. So
shocking, huh?
Even though to see numbers like that for Raw in the States sort of makes me go, okay, yeah, there's the Saints game that was on, which I can understand. You know, I did, I was pretty much coaxed into watching a few Saints games by a friend of mine online. And,
Santo!
You know, I El Santo Loco. But, yeah, I can see why, you know, Americans will stop watching things like a Raw to go and watch a good game. You know, it's the same with any sport. But still, I would put a slight bit of it into, you know, there's always going to be channel flicking, no matter what happens. You know, they take breaks in the football, they take breaks in Raw. They're going to have people jumping back and forth. Raw wasn't that good this week, so they're not holding on to people at all. So it's understandable that they got a lower number this week.
Right,
but that type of low might be, you know, where they go, wow, we need to change something.
Now, just to throw some numbers out there that were provided by the Nielsen folks and Sir Rockin, who's our tech producer and savant of the group. Dancing with the Stars had their premiere last night, did 21 million. House, which Bug was probably watching or other people were watching, did 10 mil. Chuck did 6 mil, which ticks me off when I say the following. The show after it, the event. What is the event? It's like they. It's like I don't really care at this point. The event did 11 million. 2.5 Men's return on CBS did 14.5. And How I Met Your Mother did 8.78. So, you know, and that Monday Night Football show up too. The obvious thing. I mean, there's going to be some pundits on other forums, including OWW Genesis and other sites that are probably going to look at all these numbers and go, okay, so does this mean WWE needs to do their own Dancing with the Stars thing? Do they need... Is this a sign... Is this just like something that we knew was going to happen if we looked at the tea leaves a couple weeks ago and said, you know, maybe there's a little burnout in the fans? Because like I said, they just had a pay-per-view Sunday night, and in 2 weeks, you're going to have to mishmash a bunch of stuff together to get them to another pay-per-view. And, oh, by the way, everybody's getting ready for Sci-Fi debut with Friday Night SmackDown Live. So, I mean, obviously, in Spug's eyes, we're reading way too much into this. Am I correct?
Yeah. Yeah, you are. You're looking just a little bit too deeply into the tea leaves. I think you just need to step back and realize that last night was a little bit of an anomaly, and just let it go for what it was. It was a season premiere night across the board for a bunch of networks. You had Monday Night Football. So a lot of people are looking in, are watching other stuff on that night.
Yeah, but on the flip side, do you think it could be that with a sudden ratings dip like that, especially on, you know, premiere night, like you said, you had a whole heap of shows debuting. That means that there is now a section of the audience that is going to decide to turn onto these other shows every week. Maybe this could be a wake-up call of WWE need to pull the thumb out of their butts and give us more compelling wrestling to watch. Because,
well, you also
frankly,
have...
if I've got the choice, because you've got to remember, we've just come off a season on US television where all these quote-unquote big-time shows haven't been on the air, and Raw's basically been running unopposed for the last few months.
Yeah, you lost. You had You lost Heroes. You lost a couple other programs. And I mean,
I will say this.
Mm-hmm.
And we brought this up months ago with TNA when people were bitching about TNA's ratings. You don't know how many of those individuals that clicked over to watch something else last night, like a House or Chuck or Dancing with the Stars or Monday Night Football, are TiVoing Raw and are going to watch it later in the week.
Good point. Absolutely. I admit I TiVoed, DVR'd, whatever it's called.
You don't know how many other people found some other way to make sure they could see Raw after they saw the program they wanted. Like, because I'm going to admit, I really didn't watch all that much Raw. I was too busy watching the football game and watching the season premiere of House last night.
Which will definitely be addressed tomorrow night on a Talker Talk Live, which we'll get to in a minute here.
House won't be talking about.
Oh, okay. I thought you guys did like a fall preview in TV or something on there. It may not be full geeky talk, but.
Stop trying to make it sound like we actually plan this stuff. We don't.
Okay, fine.
That's part of our charm. Quit effing it up.
Okay, fine. Go listen. All right, and since we are approaching the midnight hour on the East Coast and the people have been listening to us, we appreciate you each and every week for doing it. As mentioned, this is part of the Wild Talk Radio Network, wildtalkradio.com. These two gentlemen and the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the WTR, will be here tomorrow night, 9 o'clock Eastern, with Otaku Talk Live. Since you basically just said, don't F it up, do you want to pimp an idea as to what may happen?
Yes, because we can confirm it. We can confirm it. Tomorrow night, on Otaku Talk Live, we will talk about geek stuff.
All right.
But, we can confirm something else too, right, Spug?
Yes, two members of Power Glove will join us tomorrow night.
Interesting.
So, tune in at 9 p.m. Eastern right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network and listen to us fumble our way through our interview. The first ever in OTL history.
That's pretty far out. And you guys have been on the air a lot, so to have an interview show up, it's like, whoa, pretty far out. Yeah, and they are 9
really
o'clock.
Try. We don't try.
Okay.
We probably could have had hundreds of interviews at this point. We don't care.
Yeah, Michael Bay was on the doorstep. You want to talk to these guys?
No, we try to blow them up.
Ah, gotcha.
Michael Bay is not welcome.
He'd be sitting there like the team America World Police people. Pearl Harbor stunk, but Affleck is good.
No.
Okay,
I'm more or less set a stick of dynamite like Wile E. Coyote to his door.
Wow. And speaking of fun on an evening, Thursday night, Sorokin shows up with the lovely, the talented, the mysterious Cindy Sin. Her website is cindysin.com, which is SYDNYSYNN.com, for a very educational and loving program called Anything Goes. Anything you want to talk about for Thursday night, dude?
Not sure yet, but we might have some dating advice and rules for dating, stuff like that. So tune in for all that fun stuff on Anything Goes right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. But Mace has something to podcast pimp or whatever.
We'll get to him. We're saving the best for last. We're going to give him the open forum in a minute. Now, who is the DJ on Friday night? Is it going to be DJ Spug? Is it going to be DJ Rockin' Sock? Is it DJ I don't know? Do we have a DJ for Friday?
DJ Stein rocks the house every Friday night.
Wow. And then, of course, the living legend itself, CB Radio, Saturday nights, midnight-ish with Sir Rockin' Subway and The Godfather Rob Parks. Anything on tap for that event yet, sir?
It's Tuesday. We don't think of it till like Friday or Saturday. We're on the show itself. But if you want to check out the archive, you can check out the archive at wildtalkradio.com, where you heard Rob Parks talk about his encounter with the Nature Boy, Ric Flair.
Woo, baby.
Woo! Awesome.
All right, and as always, Sunday nights here on the network. This Sunday they will be at 10 o'clock Eastern because there's no pay-per-view. The Spud Guy, Omega, Mace, Will, if he's allowed to be here, and the Guru Tim Stein will join you for Wrestle Talk Radio. I am possibly in the talks of being involved in another program on this network involving Tim Stein, something to do with pucks and sticks and goals and punching people out. I believe Fire on Ice will be back soon for a preseason event. And coming soon, October 5th, on this same date, at 8 p.m. Eastern, Mind and Body with Matt and Johnny. That would be Matt Walsh and Johnny Kazmir. If you're a wrestling fan, they're known as Vanilla Madden Candy. You can check them out on MySpace, and I believe Kazmir has a Twitter. And it's going to be a very interesting event. Matt is a personal trainer. Johnny is into yoga, is a licensed massage therapist. There's mentionings of some spirituality involved in this show. So if you're into that information, please give them a try. And if you're into what Mace is about to mention, he'll tell you how to get to where all his fun stuff is. The commercial played earlier in the show. The floor is yours, Mace. Address your new podcast.
Yes, only in its, well, technically second week, even though it'll be the third episode I will have done, doing a little comic book review / recommendation show known as Bashing the Books, which you'll be able to find exclusively on wildtalkradio.com in the archives section. Basically, I take the newest books each week, or a selection thereof, that I have read, and basically run them down, point out good parts, bad parts, whether I like where the storyline is going. One thing that will always get bashed is The Amazing Spider-Man, because those books have been sucking horribly for the past nearly 6-odd months. So, yeah, I try to have that up either very late on a Wednesday night or early on a Thursday morning because of the time difference. So basically, once the books are in my hand and I have read them, I start recording. So I can almost guarantee by Thursday night there shall be a new episode of Bashing the Books, as I said, exclusively on wildtalkradio.com.
Now, I mentioned the Run-DMC music, and that is because, as I said, we're representing Hollis, Queens next week. But next week, I wasn't going to say it, but I'm going to say it now because there's going to be a lot of other shows that are going to crap their pants because we have an exclusive next week. He is one of the most talked about people in wrestling that everybody wants him for interviews. Well, I got him. The notorious 187 Homicide will be here next week to talk Ring of Honor, Evolve, Combat Zone Wrestling, that little group he was a part of known as TNA, and we'll get a baseball preview for the playoffs from a fellow New York Yankee fan. And I'm sure Spug will be in rare form to rip on our multi-time soon-to-be World Series champions again.
You got to get past the Rays first.
It depends on what day of the week you're on there. Don't forget, check out 30 for 30. The House of Steinbrenner is involved there. And another thing I wanted to mention before we wrap it up here, that if you are a diner of the Chili's restaurant franchise, do us all a big favor. This Monday, the 27th, go out and eat at Chili's because 100% of the proceeds, no matter how little or how much you eat, every single cent, dollar, cash, check, money order, will go to one of the greatest charities in the world, the St. Jude Children's Hospital, which was founded by the legendary Danny Thomas, His daughter Marlo is still involved in the company and the organization. And if you know her, she was on TV back in the day in the That Girl Show, and is the wife to the legendary talk show host Phil Donahue, one of my mentors. So get out Monday night, go watch Monday Night Football, go watch Monday Night Raw, go to a Chili's, raise some money for an awesome charity. I want
to
thank
Trey. Go to Chili's.
Go to Chili's. Buy the shirt. Buy the CD. Want to thank Trey.
Is there a podcast?
Do Chili's have a podcast? I don't know.
There are buttons. Buttons and headbands.
There may be buttons.
There's stand-up comedy at Chili's.
I don't know. There wasn't any today when my wife and I ate there, and they still do have the 2-for-20 gimmick going, where you get the appetizer and the two entrees and hopefully some Chili's folks. I dropped it on them and said, yeah, I'm going to mention this thing, so you better listen to my show. Thanks to Tracy Brooks joining us, Cheerleader Melissa joining us, the Smug Guy and Mace for taking time out of their busy lives to be here. The technical producing god of Sir Rockin', Tim Stein, the big bosses, Jason Dedrich, and Brad Dykens. And, yeah, as I say it every week, I believe this was my 28th or 29th week in a row of doing this show, and it keeps getting more and more fun every week. I love interacting with the fans, be it here, be it ASW events, be it Wrestling for a Cause. I get people all the time walk up to me and go, dude, I love the show. Love podcasting it. Love getting it. You can podcast us off of iTunes. You can podcast us off Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't forget, we're all over Facebook. Wild Talk Radio is all over Facebook. BT Night was another awesome success, and we're going to take it out. Thanks for joining us here on Wild of Wrestling Radio. We'll see you next week for Run DMC Night with the Notorious 187 Homicide.